about.
Let's get this party started.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Be honest. What is it about me that no one respects? Is it my hair? Yeah. I'm thinking about getting a new haircut. Changing stuff up. Maybe getting like an Arnie Schwarzenegger jingle all the way type of haircut. You know, short, tall, and stiff. Kind of like how I like my men.
This reminds me of a little girl from a steel town who had the dream to dance.
She had to strip down to nothing. She had to sit in that chair and arch her back, and she reached up and pulled the chain to nowhere and doused herself with water.
Flashdance? You're talking about the movie from the 80s.
Yeah, you're damn right I am. And now.
So when I say clean water was only served to the fairer skin, what I'm saying is, we're making product with chitlins.
Our feature presentation.
I had not looked at it that way, Kanye, but thank you for that.
What?
Clean water?
He does have a point.
Ferris.
I don't think he does, though.
I'm not sure. Now that I think about it again, I'm not sure I get it.
I do love chitlins, though.
Hey, what are chitlins?
Things you eat. Tastes real good. A little fried nuggets of goodness.
Are they a vegetable?
Sure.
I feel like you put a lot of things in your mouth and you don't even know what they are. It sounds like you said you love chitlins, yet you don't seem to know what chitlins are.
Yeah. It appears
guys,
that way.
Happy two-thirds Christmas, everyone. Right?
Wow.
You woke up today and you thought, oh, it's just another stupid hot August day. You didn't realize that it's a holiday. Two-thirds Christmas. It's getting close now. Can you feel it? Those elves are working overtime.
Bean.
I miss Kevin.
You know you do this just to annoy most people.
I do this because I'm excited, because I wake up happy, because it's two-thirds Christmas.
Do you go to bed thinking that
yes.
tomorrow? Okay, you do.
Last night was two-thirds Christmas Eve, yeah.
Okay.
And now is when it gets great.
Well, it's getting real now.
It's getting real, exactly.
Right.
Look, I love Half Christmas. No one will ever take Half Christmas away from me. Half Christmas is great.
Right,
but once you get to two-thirds Christmas, mm-hmm. because next month is three-fourths Christmas.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's right around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sleigh ride that's going down a snowy hill with no brakes. And Mr. Bad Examples.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Well, I hope everybody.
Oh, Bean. You're a delight.
And enjoys. Hey, we got a big show today, but let's get us started with a little how does the story end? Hit it, Steve.
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
Allie, you probably already saw this story. You tend to be on the internet and catch the big ones. But did you see the story about the Little League coach? Did you see him?
That walked out to the mound?
Walked out to the mound.
Yes.
Did you see him? Okay. Chip, did you see him?
I did not.
Okay. So the Little League World Series is going on a few days ago, and there's a team from Bend, Oregon in there representing the United States, and they are playing a team in from Italy. It's the consolation game, so they still, you know, they're out of the actual World Series. They're out of winning the whole thing, but this is to find out who comes in third, I guess. So they're playing the game, and the coach, Joel Jensen is his name, walks out to the mound to have a few words with the pitcher, like you do, because there were a couple of men on base, and he sensed that the pitcher needed a little bit of encouragement. The pitcher is also his son, Isaiah. So here's how ESPN called it. That here we're in the fifth inning, by the way, with two outs, two men on. It's a six-inning game when you're playing the Little League World Series. So we're getting near the end of the game, but it's getting kind of tense.
Here comes Dad for a conference.
Hey. I just came out to tell you how much I love you as a dad and a player. Okay? You're doing awesome out here. One more hitter and then I'm going to Juge. This is your last hitter. Okay? Understand? Come right after. Hey, cheer up. Have some fun. Come right after. Okay? Let's go.
How good is that, Tim?
As good as it gets.
Goosebumps. Not sure the pitching coaches in the big leagues are coming out and
giving the same message. Probably not.
All right, so he goes out to the mound to tell his son, I love you, and you're doing awesome. Have some fun. Just get this last guy out. I'm bringing in the relief pitcher, you know, for the final inning anyway. So this is, you know, get this guy out and you're done.
Yeah.
Right thing to say, by the way, Allie?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if it's their kid and it's a Little League World Series, like, yeah. Being critical is not going to help him at all.
Okay.
What do you mean, is it the right thing to say?
I'm just asking.
Where's this going?
It's an unusual coaching decision.
No, it's not. Not.
Can you imagine being the coach?
Oh, no.
Get this guy out, you loser. We're not even in the World Series anymore.
Why don't you strike him out?
So how does the story end, Allie? You saw the story, but do you know what happened next?
I thought he struck him out.
Chip, how does the story end? What happens after this pussy dad walks out to the mound? And, you're so special. You're so sweet. You're so great. What happens? What does the kid do next?
What the hell?
Well, because of you, I'm just going to say he struck him out.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think that was an effective approach from the coach and that he did, in fact, strike him out?
Yes.
He struck him out.
Yeah! Bean, what would you have done if you were that child's dad and you needed one more out and that was going to be the last time you played in this World Series, your last out? What would you have said to him?
I don't know what I would have said, but I would have appreciated the story a lot more if the kid would have then proceeded to give up 10
son,
runs.
Do you realize it's two-thirds Christmas?
Jeez, Bean.
He did strike him out. Then the relief pitcher came on and had a shaky sixth inning and gave up 2 runs, by the way. But the team from Oregon still won the game 6-2, so they did win the consolation prize.
You managed to take a beautiful story that made me cry, obviously, when I first heard it.
It was pretty warm and fuzzy. Look, I didn't say anything bad about the dad. I'm just asking.
Pussy dad.
Well, except your exact words
less than a minute ago.
All right. They won the game, and that's how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yep. It's almost Christmas time.
Did you say it's almost Christmas time,
Yep. It's almost Christmas time,
Time.
Why do you say it like that, Rodney?
Christmas is my time of year.
Why do you like Christmas?
Santa doesn't come to little Jewish children's houses.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Okay.
Did not see that coming.
We got more tickets today for your Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
That is happening in less than 1 week, next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We will hook you up with the audience with a legend. Sting is going to be here being interviewed, performing live for you, including his brand new single from his upcoming rock album. That'll come in the 6 o'clock hour, your chance to win those tickets. Also, we'll talk sports with Jim Rome, about whom I had a very disturbing dream last night, Allie.
Go on.
I was awake for like an hour between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Unable to get back to sleep because Jim Rome was so mad at me and yelled at me in my dream.
About what?
Well, maybe we'll talk about it later. But it was very upsetting because I admire Jim so much.
Sure.
And now here he is yelling at me and I feel like I screwed up.
Again, just a dream. Didn't happen.
Well, I'm nervous about talking to him today, though, because what if he felt it, too? What if the same dream happened on his end? Now, I'm a dick.
Well, that goes without saying. But let's wait till the segment.
It is Thursday. That means our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky happens today. The beautiful, wonderful, talented actress Kate Mara from House of Cards and More is going to be joining us. Her new film is called Morgan. We'll talk to her about that. I love these celebrity cruises. Everybody's doing them. You know, you get to go out on the open seas with 311 for a weekend, that sort of thing. Wait till you hear who the latest is. Wait till you hear who you can get on a boat with and tour the world.
Nice.
I think it's going to be very, very exciting news. Let me see. What else do we have today? Well, one of us attempted the 22 push-up challenge.
Oh, yeah?
Which is the latest internet thing to raise awareness for a good cause. One of us may not have been successful in doing all 22 push-ups.
One of us is surprised the other one made it in today.
We will discuss. Okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
Plus, Ralph has your showbiz beat. We'll do that right after this on K-Rock. 5:54, Thursday morning. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'm just excited because Jennifer Lopez is single again. I got a shot.
What?
Yeah. You got that right. So Sources are telling People magazine that she has broken up with her longtime boyfriend, Casper Smart. Poorly, well, Casper ghosted her.
See?
What?
What?
Hey, at least she didn't marry this one.
Right.
She does learning. Have a tendency to get married pretty often.
She's learning maybe to just to hold off and see how things go.
I thought they broke up a long time ago.
Well,
did they get
Allie,
back?
They separated, yes, but of course they got back. Oh, come on, wow. You're not following?
I am not, and I apologize.
They got together after she divorced Mark Anthony back in 2011, and then they did date for a long time, then split up for a short period of time, got back together again. But now, apparently, it's all over.
Hmm.
Of course, neither rep is actually commenting on this very sensitive situation, but we will be keeping you up to date as details unfold.
Okay.
Do you guys think it would be difficult to date Jennifer Lopez?
I do.
I do, too.
I do because her schedule is just so jam-packed. She has that show on NBC that she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, of course, all of her music work. She tours. Just an incredible time crunch, I would think, to fit in a relationship, to fit in some sort of romantic.
Why are you shaking your head, Allie?
No. Sort of
the man's trying to make a point.
I don't
a romantic entanglement with anyone, even the most attractive, intelligent, sensitive of men, would be enormous pressure, I think.
I would think so.
And just trying to make it work logistically with her travel schedule and all that stuff, I think would be
endorsements,
so
appearances.
Very, very hard.
How would you do it?
I don't know, but, you know, now that I think about it, no matter how jam-packed your life is, no matter how full your social calendar may be,
right?
There's always room for J-Lo.
Felt good.
Felt good.
Like it.
Hey, I can't wait for the new shark movie, Meg.
Meg?
Meg.
It doesn't sound scary.
Oh, Meg the shark? You don't want to mess with Meg.
Meg.
Oh, she will. Oh. She will knit you a tea kettle cozy. That Meg. Actually, Meg is short for Megalodon.
Oh.
The name of the legendary prehistoric shark, the granddaddy of all sharks. Megalodon will F you up. Is the title of the new film. No, it's not. It's just called Meg. And Jason Statham will be the star. Think Jaws times Jurassic Park plus Sharknado divided by Sharktopus.
Okay, I think I got it.
All right. Now, originally, it was supposed to star our favorite actress, Fan Bingbing.
Fan
Bingbing. Fan Bingbing was going to be opposite Jason Statham in Meg.
Did you just look up Fan Bingbing news?
No, this is in the news. Fan Bingbing was supposed to be opposite Jason Statham, but for reasons we don't know, she has backed out of the project. And so now producers are in talks with Chinese actress Li Bingbing.
Any relation?
No relation.
Oh.
To star opposite Jason Statham. So,
From
one Bing Bing to another Bing Bing.
Wow.
They were committed to the Bing Bing.
Right?
Meg. And that's a working title, right? That's
no,
not what
Meg.
It's going to end up being.
They're in a sub that's disabled and trapped at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Mm-hmm.
And then Meg shows up. You'd not want to cross paths with Meg.
I don't think so.
Well, you're in a submarine. What's Meg going to do?
Crunch.
You are all going to die tonight.
Bite into that like a churro.
Oh, sharks eat metal.
Oh, Meg does.
Oh, got it.
So I can't wait to see Li Bingbing. I said, no, I'm not a big fan of Bingbing, but I like Li Bingbing.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah. I also like ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah.
Bing bang.
Bing bang.
Walla walla.
Walla walla. Kate Upton. We haven't talked about her in a while.
What's she been up to?
She's been sort of off the radar. But she's stumbled into a beef by posting a Snapchat selfie the other day. She looks adorable, by the way. She's doing she's kind of goofing around doing the duck face photo of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she captioned it, "I look like a Kardashian, nose job and all." Oh, here we go. Oh, now it's on. Now that the Kardashian camp is rallying its troops and people are starting to come at her on social media.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
I don't believe it's a race war.
Race war's on, everybody.
It's just
going down. Shit is going down.
Yeah.
Race war. Come on. Race war.
Apparently, there's a long time beef between Kate and the Kardashians. Because you may remember in 2013, Kanye West lashed out at Vanity Fair for describing Upton as the next Marilyn Monroe when they featured the model actress on their cover. He went off saying, Kate Upton ain't Marilyn Monroe. Kim is Marilyn Monroe. You know that?
Oh, dear.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I do not, in fact, know that, sir.
Don't see that at all.
Yeah. At all.
Well, you may remember on his appearance here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kanye West said that Kim Kardashian is the next Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
Sure, because of all the talent. Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, just a bushel, if you will, of celebrity birthdays. Blake Lively celebrates her 29th birthday today. Rachel Bilson is 35. Alexander Skarsgård, he is 40 years old. I wanted to see that Tarzan. I never got around to it. Looks good to me. Rachel Ray is 48. Billy Ray Cyrus is 55. Tim Burton, talented director, is 58. Elvis Costello is 62. Rob Halford of Judas Priest fame is 65. Gene Simmons of Kiss turned 67. Regis Philbin is 85 years old today.
God bless him.
And I saved the best for last. Sean Connery, the OG James Bond, 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garmel.
That's all? That's all he is 68?
Isn't that enough?
I would have thought he was in his late 70s.
86.
Oh, okay.
Number dyslexia. 68 looked like 86 and vice versa to me.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Sean Connery. You are 86 years old today. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to make you young by accident. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This hour, you're invited to join us for Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
It's going to be next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We'll tell you how you can win coming up in just a few minutes. Allie, you see my video?
I did see your video. Good job, Bean.
Not a good job.
Okay. I was being
great
nice.
Great job, Bean.
Not a good job. There's a new thing going around that is kind of like that ALS Ice Bucket Challenge from a couple of years ago. And this is for another really, really good cause. It's called the 22 Push-Up Challenge. And there is a number that is often thrown around that has been disputed. And God, I hope it's certainly not true, that 22 military veterans in this country commit suicide every day. It doesn't seem like that's a possible amount, right?
It sounds really high.
Yeah. And again, whether that number is exactly accurate or not, there are certain stresses that are placed on our men and women in the military while they're on active duty and even coming home after that and readjusting to life. I mean, the rate is definitely higher for people who have served in the military than it is for civilians. So anyway, that's what the whole thing is about, is you do 22 push-ups, you put it up on the internet, and it's to raise awareness of mental health of veterans, which is a great idea, a great cause, and it's certainly something that should be on all of our radar. So you've seen the first one I saw do it was Dwayne Johnson. I don't know who you saw first, Ellie, but The Rock was the one that I saw, and I thought, whoa. John Krasinski did it, Chris Pratt, Kevin Bacon. Lots of manly men have gotten down on the ground and done their 22 push-up challenges. So Dave, our producer, comes in the other day and he says, hey, you should do a 22 push-up challenge. And I say, no, I'm not going to do that. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why not?
Healthiest man alive.
I am. First of all, I am the healthiest man alive.
No, you are not.
First of all, I am a physical specimen.
Okay.
So I jumped down on a blanket in my yard a couple of days ago. We put this up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and tweeted it out through, on Twitter and put it up on Instagram and everything. So you can see the video if you want. But I thought the radio listeners might enjoy hearing how my 22 push-up challenge went. Hey, you guys, it's me, Bean, and I guess it's my turn for the 22 push-up challenge. This is a new internet challenge to raise awareness about mental health, particularly among members of the military, past and present, who commit suicide at an alarming rate. 22 a day, it is said, and that's what the push-up challenge is all about. Now, you may look at me and think, well, there's the guy with the body of a finely crafted athlete. But believe it or not, I don't think I've done 22 push-ups in my entire life, so I suspect I'm not going to be able to do them right now. But I'll give it a try. It's for a good cause. And if I fail, you'll never see this. So I assume success. Otherwise, this would not be on the internet. So here we go. 22 push-ups. Ah. Okay. That was push-up number one.
Okay.
That was just, and those are my dogs who got alarmed that Daddy was dead and came running over and jumping on my head.
Sure, sure.
That's what happened there. Push-ups are hard, you guys,
mm-hmm.
is what I'm saying, first of all.
Right.
Push-ups are not easy to do.
Okay.
And I have a great deal of respect now for the people that do 22 push-ups on their challenge. The Facebook comments were not kind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a lot of, I'm glad he's gone. There was a lot of, I wish I never saw what Kevin Abeed looked like.
Wow.
There was a lot of, it would have been funny if your dog would have peed on your head. There was a lot of that. There was a lot of, hey, why did you film it vertical, asshole? Okay, I accept that one. But I did try it one time before horizontally. And mm-hmm. when I did the half of the push-up that I did, my head went up out of the screen. So that's why I kind of had to turn around because I was by myself. I was the only one filming. So,
did many people on the Facebook page understand what this was for and that it was drawing attention and maybe they could look into how to do more for our veterans?
Well, let's take a look. Let's see.
I hope so.
Rick says, pussy.
Okay, no.
Right. Alan says, Bean, you are a girly man.
Okay, no. Okay.
Not so much on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Dave said, was it Bean? Nope. All right. I don't know what that means. At least now we won't have to hear him heavy breathing into the goddamn mic every day.
Okay.
All right.
Bean, did you need an oxygen tank?
Hmm.
Where's the sound effect of Bean falling? No, I'm not seeing much that says, well, hey, we got the message.
Not much positive
the
or
thing here. Yeah. But, okay, I was the first to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But who among us can do 22 push-ups? Who that doesn't work out, that isn't a gym rat, can just jump down out of nowhere and do 22 push-ups? Am I wrong, or is that extraordinarily difficult? Can the average person on the street do 22 push-ups? What do you guys think?
Probably not.
I wouldn't think so either. Chip, could you do 22 push-ups? You're in real good shape.
Yeah, I can do them, but I also go to the gym a few days a week, so that throws me out.
How long would it take you to do 22 push-ups?
30 seconds. Maybe 45.
Really?
45, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
That is super impressive.
But also, to push up, that's how you get up on a surfboard, too. So I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Chip may be in the best shape of any of us. How about you, Allie? 22 push-ups?
No. No. Nope. Nah. Uh-uh.
How long would it take you if you tried?
I could take breaks.
Yeah.
Maybe watch a show in between.
Well, I don't know that you do one and then go to the movies and come back and do one more.
I could do that. Sure. That sounds good. 22 right. days.
How about Dave? You think he could do it?
2 years.
Muggs?
Muggs, I think, could do it. I really do. I think we mistake Muggs, what we put on him, as real. I think he's in better shape than we think he is.
Really?
I think his pubes might hold him back, though. Well, weigh him down a
bit. You'll really get down to the ground.
No.
Right. Well, you know, part of what you're supposed to do at the end of the 22 push-up challenge mm-hmm. is you're supposed to then challenge other people to do it. You're supposed mm-hmm. to name check who you'd like to see do the challenge next. Since I was unconscious, I wasn't mm-hmm. able to do that.
Right.
But I would like to see Muggs do it.
Okay.
So maybe Muggs would be next.
All right.
I think Ralph could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like he's the kind of mm-hmm. guy who could probably do 22 push-ups?
Omar can do it, I think.
I think Omar could probably do it. Wow, so Allie, you and I are just the weak sauce of the show.
Yeah, I didn't question that.
All right, Muggs, you've been challenged. We want to see your 22 push-up challenge video up today. And for anyone else, that's what's going on if you want to help raise awareness about a very serious issue. And by the way, on behalf of the whole show, for any veterans who may be listening or active service members, thank you very much for your service. And I do wish and hope that you have the mental health facilities available for you, because I know it is a very stressful job and a very stressful thing to go for. You can see my video, if you care to, on the Kevin Abeed Facebook page, on the Instagram, on the Twitter. It's everywhere. Just don't laugh. Fast for the people on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Breakfast with Sting. It's happening next Wednesday. You want to go? You can call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. We will play a game for them, but then you will be with us on next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space when we have Sting stopping by. Allie, I'm not a cruise person, are you?
I am not. I went on one, and that was one too many for me.
You know what?
You know, murder.
Yeah, you got to be worried about murder.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like every time I see a cruise in the news, it's because they got back to their final destination with one fewer passenger than they left with?
Or a horrible case of diarrhea.
Sometimes yes. That happens too. Well, the hot new trend that's really been coming on in the last few years are these celebrity cruises.
Mm-hmm.
almost whatever you're into. There was a Walking Dead cruise. There was a cruise out of Miami, or there's one coming up out of Miami with Pitbull. You go out on the open seas with Pitbull. There's a Star Trek cruise that William Shatner is going to be doing and a bunch of other cast members. There are celebrity chef cruises. There's an 80s cruise coming up. You might like this one. Belinda Carlisle, Colin Hay from Men at Work, and Men Without Hats are all going to be performing.
I'm back in on the cruise game.
But here's the one we've all been waiting for. If you just needed the right celebrity to get you to say yes to heading out on the water for a week, how about David Hasselhoff?
Yeah! Oh, no.
The official David Hasselhoff World Fan Cruise is going to be leaving from Savona, Italy on the 4th of November, a six-day cruise that takes passengers across the high seas to Spain and France, returning to Italy. I want to thank my fans from around the world. I can look back on an exceptional career in show business, and there's so much more to come. It's high time to give back the gratitude and fun that you bring me every day. So we asked Dave who we could speak with, and I can't read the screen. Who's on the line here, Chip?
It is Hans Mueller, the president of the David Hasselhoff Fan Club.
Mr. Mueller, thank you so much for joining us, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
You are the president of the David Hasselhoff Fan Club. Are there a lot of members in that club?
They are internationally huge all over the Europe. He has a huge fan base here in Germany, of course, and the rest of Europe as well. He is a god to us.
Okay. So what goes on a David Hasselhoff fan cruise? I can't even imagine.
We will be playing all of his greatest hit songs.
Uh-huh.
That freedom one, when he stood on the wall in Berlin.
Freedom,
sure.
Right? Right, yeah.
Talking about freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
And Hooked on a Feeling.
He did do that one too, yeah?
Yeah, we'll be playing that nonstop on the boat.
Okay. So he'll be performing songs. Will he also just be kind of hanging out, taking...
Of course, that is the whole attraction of the whole cruise, is that you'll have unlimited access to Herr Hoff.
Okay. Herr Hoff? Is that what we call him?
Yeah, Herr Hoff.
All right. Let me see. A David in person in the large theater. That's an event. I guess that's what they're calling a concert, maybe?
Yeah,
David in person.
You'll be performing songs and hopefully doing some dramatic readings from Knight Rider.
Exciting.
Get-togethers, autograph sessions, obviously photos, and Mr. Hasselhoff is going to be on board for the entire 6 days of the cruise.
Not only that, he is going to be always here. And if it works out properly, this will be a year-round thing. You can always come on the boat and see the Hoff.
Okay.
The Hoff is here.
Oh, the Hoff has just arrived? Are you kidding me?
We are giving the Hoff signal.
Oh, this is very exciting.
Everyone to your station. The Hoff is here.
Wow. You get very excited when Mr. Hasselhoff shows up.
It's like the Devil Wears Prada when she comes into work.
Right.
It's so exciting. I can't believe the Hoff is aboard.
Oh, wow.
He's here to make preparations. Mm-hmm. Preparations to get all the Hoff people on the ship.
Well, Mr.
Hans,
Mueller,
calm down. It's okay.
Calm down. The Hoff is coming.
Okay.
I know you're the president of the fan club. Okay. Is there any way we could speak to Mr. Hasselhoff? Do you mind?
How dare you? How dare you ask to speak to the Hoff?
Well, if he would...
above you. You are a minuscule little pipsqueak.
Okay.
You are a little speck of fly dung.
Okay,
and
you don't
Hoff
have to be
is all
cruel.
Things for all people.
He's a great man. He's a great man. But
he's a great man. Yes, as they say in Italy, he's a great man.
You are taking off from Italy.
We are taking off from Italy.
We have a good relationship with David. If we could just say, we've talked to him on the phone many times. If we could just say,
nine. You have nine. You have no relationship with Hoff. He is well above you. You are nothing. You are scum. Hoff is all.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we won't say hi to him then. If you don't.
Hold on. I'll see if I can get him. Okay. Hey, Hoff. The awful people on the radio in America wants to speak with you.
Wow, I just feel like this got combative.
Will you pleasure them with the sounds of your voice?
You're
so lucky he's coming forward on the phone.
Awesome.
Worship him.
We will.
Hans is a big fan,
isn't
he?
Without Hoff, we are nothing.
All right, just give him the phone, huh? Without Hoff, we are nothing?
I believe he said that.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you guys?
Hi, David. Hey. How are you, Hoff?
Hey, it's
the hump. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're fine, but I gotta warn you that Hans Mueller. I would keep my distance from him. He sounds kind of scary.
He's a very dedicated fan. I appreciate everything he does for the hump.
Yeah. Well, you love your fans. That's what you've always said, and that's why you're doing
love
this
my
fan
fans. Cruise. My fans are the best.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to get them all here on the ship. And I can't wait to cast Hoff on this cruise.
Yes, you're going to be doing that. You're going to be signing a lot of autographs and getting a lot of photos taken, I guess, for the course of that week.
Going to meet all the fans. I'm telling you, this cruise is going to be Hoff the Chain.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, you make a lot of puns because your name sounds like Hoff. We got that.
What's your favorite part of the cruise, David?
Well, you know, over the years, Hoff and on, I've been performing here in Europe, and it's got to be performing, doing the songs for the fans. They just love it.
They love it. Okay.
This concert's going to go off.
Go off, right. Now, you're I got to ask. Okay. It's not that funny. I do have to ask, though.
If you get your tickets now, you get a little discount. We'll take half off.
Half off,
okay.
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. We got that.
Sure.
Listen, you're a single guy now. Is there any chance that some of the ladies might want to,
break off a little piece of me?
I'm glad you said it so I didn't have to.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the best part of the cruise is just unlimited booze, really. It's the best part.
Well, you should be careful with that.
It's all inclusive. When you come on the ship, you can just drink as much as you want. So everyone have a good time. Let's party.
Okay.
But you've got to be responsible, right,
yeah.
David?
Mm. Yeah, you've got a little bit of problem in your
mimosa waiting for me.
Oh no! Is he drinking right now?
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, that's good. That's good right there.
Be careful, Hoff. You know how this goes when you drink.
I'm okay.
Oh, come on.
I'm all right.
All right. Well, listen. Don't overdo it.
No, I'm not going to overdo it. Mm.
This is just one mimosa.
Oh, that's good mimosa.
What's the alcohol content?
Strong mimosa.
I don't like. I get a mimosa. Hold the orange juice.
Oh,
right,
so it's just pure vodka.
Okay. All right.
Actually,
well,
mimosa champagne.
But, oh, it's champagne.
You know, I'm having some chitlins later on today. Too.
It sure is.
Holy crap, I got to do everything on this end of the phone call, don't I? I'm all right. I'm okay.
All right, well, we're going to let you go.
Nope, I can quit out. I'm okay.
Okay, this is what always happens when you take that drink. You really got to stay away from the alcohol.
You have to stay away from the alcohol.
No, I'm not trying to be combative. I'm just saying we know how it affects you.
I'm okay. It's all right. I'll need a hamburger. Let's get a hamburger.
All right. We're going to let you go. Have a great time.
Don't let me go. Please don't let me go.
Hans is right.
Is Hans there? Can he help?
Oh, don't leave me alone with this German Nazi son of a bitch. I hate these people.
Hans is the president of your fan club.
Oh, my fans are the worst.
Oh, no.
You loved your fans.
I'm okay. I'm all right. Oh.
What are you saying about your fans? You love them.
They're assholes.
All right.
This is a mess.
It is a mess.
This is a mess.
Okay. That mimosa hit you hard.
Hey, what's in a mimosa?
Champagne I found.
This is the world-famous Kerik at 106.7 KROQ. Got your Jim Rome on the program today talking sports. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky will be here and the lovely actress Kate Mara as well. She's so good in House of Cards, wasn't she? My God.
Love
her, too. Hey, right now, though, we want to hook you up with our tickets for our Breakfast with Sting. I've lost track of how many Grammys he's won. He's, of course, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. All those years with the Police, and not too long ago, the Police Reunion Tour, a phenomenal solo catalog. I can't even imagine what he's going to decide to sing when he's with us next Wednesday, but I do know he's going to be world premiering his brand new song, his first rock single in years. And you can be there in person at 1-800-520-1067. The game this time around is called Just a Second.
Just a second!
How would you do on this one, Allie? I think this one's tough.
I don't know. I feel like I've been doing good at the other contests when people have stunk it up.
Right.
So I think I'm going to do great.
All right. We're going to play Just a Second of a Sting or Police song. It's the way the song begins. So if you're the type of person who in the first second knows what song you're listening to when it comes on the radio, then you're going to do great at this game. We only have one pair of tickets to give away. We're getting tight now as we get closer to the event. So you go into a drawing if you are correct. And why don't we start with Robert? He's in Huntington Beach. He's up first. He's on line one. We'll just take him in order here this morning, Chip. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. All right. If I remember correctly, we play it twice. Is that right, Chip?
Yes, sir.
Play it. We'll play it two times for you. The first second of a Sting or Police song. Listen carefully and tell me the title of this song. All right, again. What do you think there, Robert?
Roxanne.
I am sorry. No, that time around it was So Lonely. Well, that's how that one goes. Let's try Kevin Montclair up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kev.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Going great. Looking forward to Breakfast with Sting. Let's see if we can get you in there. We'll play it for you twice. Good luck. All right, again.
Shoot. You know that one.
Kevin, oh, good. Then just tell us the title, then, if you know it.
No.
What's happening?
He's trying to do a push-up. That was a message in a bottle as well.
Message in a bottle.
Oh, yeah. So close.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
All right.
I felt the angst there with Kevin, though, didn't you? I mean, that was some torture for him.
Yeah, that was sad.
All right, let's try Josh in Hollywood. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
He didn't get message in a bottle, dude.
I got it. But
you got it.
Did
okay.
You? Okay.
I'm afraid I'm going to stink this up, as Allie says.
All right. Let's see how you go. We'll play it for you twice. Good luck in just a second.
Oh, come on. It's impossible. Hardest game in the world.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't get this one either.
It's a big, big, big Sting song. If you don't know, take a guess.
Desert Rose.
That is correct.
Wow.
That is correct. It is Desert Rose.
Unbelievable.
You are
I knew that.
You are in the drawing, Josh. Well done. Hey, hang on. Let's find out if you win. Let's try Luis. Luis, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, good morning, fine lady and dudes.
Hi, Luis.
I'm sorry.
I would have said gentleman, but I don't know.
Where are you from, Luis?
What's that?
Where are you from?
Mexico.
Okay.
You have a very sexy accent.
Yeah. I'm keep talking, Luis.
I mean, seriously, go on.
No, I'm blushing now. Everybody's looking at me funny now.
Okay. Where are you right now, Luis?
Right now, I'm driving towards work.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try.
This big parking lot. I'm trying to park, but then people start moving again. I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's how parking lots work.
You know?
I understand. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll try to get you off the phone so you can concentrate on your driving. So listen up just a second. Here's your song. We'll play it for you twice.
Wish me luck.
All right. Let's play it again. All right. You did talk over both times, but you have a guess.
Oh, man. I don't know. Roxanne?
I'm sorry, no. This time around, Luis, it was Fields of Gold we were looking for.
Oh.
But you sound like a nice man, and I thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, guys. Have fun.
Okay. Bye. All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Bob in Santa Clarita. So far, by the way, only Josh is in the drawing, but I'm feeling good about Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. We'll play it twice. Listen up. We're playing just a second. What Sting song is this? And again.
Englishman in New York.
Yes! He knew it. Yeah. I had a good feeling about Bob.
Yeah, you did.
All right, let's try Jennifer Fullerton. Hey, Jen.
Good morning.
You've gotten through before, haven't you, trying to win the Sting tickets?
I have. I really need this.
It sounds like you are a true, true fan, so I suspect you'll be okay in this Just a Second game. We'll play it for you twice. Good luck.
Every Breath You Take.
Yes, it is Every Breath You Take. I don't want to say some are easier than others, but congratulations. You are in the drawing. You may go to Breakfast with Sting. We will find out. Hang on. Let's do one more, and let's make it Chad. He's
Give
in
me
San
one
Clemente.
Second.
All right.
Talk amongst yourselves at home or in the car.
Didn't mean to upset the force here. We don't have to talk to Chad if you don't want to, Chip, but I thought we might do
there
more.
We go.
More.
Hello?
Hi, Chad. Chip was trying to keep you off the game here, man.
Yeah, she said something about hating you because you're a carpenter. Is that true?
I got no idea why she'd hate me. Kevin, I think, hates me. He cut me off on karaoke before.
Wow.
Well.
Just bad vibes from Chad, I think. I think we made a mistake going to you. All right, well, let's play since you're on the game anyway. What Sting song is this?
Roxanne.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well done, Chad. Jennifer, Bob, Josh, and you are all in the drawing. Only one will be there with a guest next Wednesday in the Red Bill Sound Space at K-Rock for our Breakfast with Sting. Miss Ellen McKay.
Fourth time's a charm for Jennifer.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Jennifer.
I can't believe it. I'm so happy.
Finally.
Thank you, guys. I'm so excited.
Yay. Be sure to introduce yourself to us when you come on Wednesday. We'd like to shake your hand. And thank you so much for listening. And thanks for playing Just a Second.
Just a Second.
I hate to be Kevin, but I was caught completely by surprise by the end of that song, and I have a mouthful of banana.
Is that what they're calling it?
It literally is a banana.
Oh, okay.
You know how many times that... Remember Kevin, that guy used to work here, the blonde guy?
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Remember how many times, Allie, even in the year and a half since you've been here, has a song ended and Kevin has been face first into a plate?
76.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. So now I know how awkward that is because it just happened to be. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. It looks like... Bean isn't the only douchebag who's getting excited for Christmas in August.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is two-thirds Christmas today.
That's not a thing, so it
can't
be.
It
can't be two-thirds Christmas because that does not exist.
It's 4 months till Christmas starting today.
Today is also Leprechaun.
What?
Okay, but it's not Leprechaun.
It is. Today's Leprechaun.
What does that mean?
I'm just making today something that doesn't exist.
Leprechaun?
Yes, today's Leprechaun.
What do you have for me for two-thirds Christmas?
Today's Unicorn.
What's the big deal?
I love that. Unicorn.
Right? Me too. I love Unicorn. I was very excited. Last night it was Unicorn Eve for me.
Oh.
Ass.
But it's a thing!
Bruce Springsteen is performing at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And Bruce is never one to refuse a fan's request. So even though it's August, he played freaking Santa Claus is Coming to Town on stage live for the audience.
That's kind of cool.
He is a dick.
He's not a dick. He's Bruce Springsteen. He's the boss. The boss is, I don't know, 61? Anyone?
Oh, older than that. I think like 65, 66 maybe.
He can't be 66 years old.
Yeah, I think he might be.
Bruce Springsteen?
I'll look it up.
Please hold.
All right. I was going to do a little research for
you.
We have our research team.
66 years old.
66 years old. Springsteen, in his hometown there in Jersey, played a four-hour concert Tuesday night.
Yay!
4 hours without a break. Just 4 hours of rock and roll. That's nuts, right?
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a fellow Springsteen fan yesterday about, is it possible that he, at 66 years old, is at the peak of his live performance powers? Is he doing shows today every bit as good as, possibly better than shows he did 10, 20, 30, or 40 years ago?
No. That's not possible. But still, he did a four-hour show.
I think it might be.
Which is impressive. No,
I don't know if you've seen any of this tour.
It's not B. But still, 4 hours is pretty good for a 66-year-old man. It's impressive.
Yeah, I think 40 songs or something I think he did in the set.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So, it was great, except for that BS Santa Claus song that he played in August, which should be outlawed.
Hurry up, Santa Claus.
Speaking of music, Disney Channel is developing a new TV series. It looks great. I cannot wait. Oh, this is exciting. Remember I told you that The Lost Boys was coming back as a TV series about the vampires? Well, Disney Channel's doing their own version called Forever Boys, about three brothers who get turned into vampires. Of course, that's not all. The brothers are also members of a boy band called Forever in Your Mind.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's happening.
No.
Oh, it's happening.
I don't think we need that.
The group is already signed to Disney's Hollywood Records label and will be releasing music as well as performing on the series Forever Boys. They're vampires. I don't know if you heard this part, but they're also members of a boy band.
Mm-hmm.
So
smells like donkey ass.
Vampire boy band.
Huh.
Okay. Disney Channel.
Okay.
Listen, hey, Disney Channel, used to be I didn't give a rat's ass what you did, but I got a six-year-old kid at home. Do not put crap on your network, because then I have to watch it. So don't be crappy. Vampire boy band.
So were they in a boy band long ago?
I will end you. I will end you.
Well, it just doesn't make sense. Like, all of a sudden, I'm sure they're like hundreds of years old.
We don't know that. It says three brothers who were turned into vampires. They could have been turned in Tuesday.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Right? Yeah. I'm glad there's something about this story that you'll draw the line about. Maddening.
Anybody watch Better Late Than Never last night? The William Shatner, Henry Winkler, George Foreman, Terry Bradshaw show?
My mother did.
Did that debut last night? I wanted to see that.
Did you really?
Would you like to know my mother's review?
I would.
I really liked it. Your father thought it was horrible.
Well, there you go. That's all you need to know.
She loved William Shatner.
Apparently, some people are saying it was very funny. It's a reality series where the four of them travel to places and complain.
I feel like I would like, I like all four of those guys, and I would enjoy a show where they sit around and talk. Mm-hmm. I don't think I need some sort of contrived, made up, let's put them in awkward scenarios kind of thing.
My father said it could have been 15 minutes, but they kind of stretched
it out.
Should
be a Funnier Die sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love Henry Winkler. I find him endlessly entertaining. Mr. Shatner, too. But don't make it fake.
Bean wants the natural interaction of William Shatner and Henry Winkler. The way they are when they hang out at a diner.
Real nice. When
George Foreman stops by and then Terry Bradshaw buys everyone pie. He wants that natural interaction those four fellas have.
Understandable. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I want, is I want to go to breakfast with those four guys at IHOP or something. And just, that would be a dream.
Anyway, did pretty well. The numbers for the premiere, 7.4 million viewers.
Wow.
In the 10 p.m. hour after America's Got Talent, so not too shabby.
We have Henry on Tuesday, I want to say, Ralph.
We got the Wink?
Yep.
Oh.
He's the best. Wink. He's the best.
He's pretty cool. Speaking of cool, tomorrow night, Friday, at the Irvine Improv, for a change, we're going down to Orange County, me and Kevin Smith, taking Hollywood Babylon on the road.
No.
And we'd love to have you come join us. It's going to be a real fun show. We do the late show Friday night at the Irvine Improv. You can go to improv.com, click on Irvine, and then you get to see me and Kevin Smith crackwise.
No!
That's a beautiful club.
It's a beautiful club, and we have a good time down there. So it's been a while since we've been in Irvine, so looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthday list, Blake Lively celebrates a birthday today, as does Rachel Bilson, Alexander Skarsgård, Rachel Ray. Omar's mortal enemy, Rachel Ray.
I can't remember. Why does he hate her so much?
No one knows. He doesn't even know. It's just, it's a visceral reaction to Rachel Ray for some reason.
There are some people you see on television, you automatically dislike them.
Rachel Ray for Omar is that. I think it was the Evu. When she started breaking out the Evu, I think he started to get upset with her.
Right.
That's an extra virgin
olive oil.
Extra virgin olive oil. Right. Yeah. Tim Burton's celebrating a birthday today. Billy Ray Cyrus, Elvis Costello. What a weird, eclectic mix today. Rob Halford, Gene Simmons, Regis Philbin, and the great Sean Connery all celebrate birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, Ralph, you're going to be very excited because we're opening up the phone lines for What's Good right now.
What's good?
It's been a couple of days. We've let it simmer, and I feel like we're going to get a fantastic batch of callers.
Yes, let's.
I really do.
Let's dig up the corpse and prop it up in the corner of the cocktail party.
No. We've primed the pump because we haven't taken calls for the last 2 days.
The pump, the other end of the pump, is down in a poop well.
Oh, no.
That's the problem. Is working. It's the actual stuff that's getting pumped out.
So you can call on any topic if there's something going on that you would like to discuss, something that's going on in the world that you think we should be discussing. You need an opinion, you need a judgment, you need a verdict, you need help. Whatever it is on your mind, it's your chance to be a part of the show for just a few minutes. You can call us.
But nobody has to call, right? If nobody calls, we can't do the segment, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think people will call, and I think people will enjoy it. Look, but hard to believe, there are people who want to be on the radio. There are people who want to talk to Kevin and Bean. There are people who have things that are important to them that they would like to share with the world, and this is a good platform for that.
Sure.
So we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. I would appreciate a little bit of support and a little bit of help here.
Can't wait.
Oh, that's what Adolf Hitler said in 1938.
1-800-520-1067.
Yep.
Your calls.
I wish I just had a little help, a little support here, Himmler. How about that, huh?
On Kevin Beans, What's Good? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Wait, is Fred Schneider here all of a sudden?
Yeah, Fred was hanging in the hallway for
some reason. Hey, Fred,
what you making?
Fruitcake.
Oh, okay. I'm about to prove you guys wrong because our listeners are exceptional. Mm-hmm. They are dynamic.
Yeah.
They are intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
They are entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to prove it to you now at 1-800-520-1067. I am none of those things, however.
Yeah. Well, maybe we do need the callers to carry the show.
A feature that we like to call What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on
conversation yesterday morning with our man Beer Mug that kind of knocked us for a loop.
He's the best.
Beer Mug was explaining to us that manscaping is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, bad for you.
Yeah. Bad for you, right. You shouldn't be trimming any hair south of the border because it will open you up for infection and disease and all sorts of horrible things.
Disfigurement and all kinds of things. Toilet seat, get pregnancy. I'm not sure exactly how that works.
The hair actually keeps you cooler. That's in the right.
It's air conditioning. There's all kinds of interesting theories.
Zika, you get the Zika right. If you shave down there. Yeah. So let's take Rula's call. She's in Anaheim. That's what she's calling about. I think she agrees with him. I'm not sure. Hey, Rula, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach Show. What's going on? What's good?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. He is an idiot.
What?
He is a damn idiot. Like, there's someone who's going to listen to the radio and think to themselves, man, Beer Mug was right. I shouldn't shave. I'm never going to get an STI doing that. No. He is an idiot that physically hurt me down to my soul. Like, my seventh grade self screamed at the radio because when I took health class, that is not at all what we learned. Like,
but Rula, you don't understand. God gave us pubic hair for a reason. He said that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, God gave us pubic hair for a reason. And obviously that reason was to prevent, according to him, STDs. One, they're STIs. They're infections, not diseases. Get your terminology straight.
Whoa.
Two, that's not at all true. The only thing that prevents an STI is a damn condom or not having sex.
Hey, Rula, it's Beer Mug here.
Beer Mug's here, Rula, sorry.
Come on, who invited you?
He burst into the
room. Hey, Rula, why don't you open up a blog and do the research, okay? Your health class is wrong.
Oh, my God. Okay, and your fourth page Google search website was correct, right?
First page, I have you know.
All right, look.
Wow.
Rula, we agree with you.
We agree with you. I think we made it clear we were on your side. And in fact, Beer Mug is an idiot. But thank you for calling and reminding us of that. Yeah.
No problem, guys. Yeah. Have a good one.
Yeah. All right.
If you start using hair as defense against infection, Beer Mug, I think that's a wrong-headed technique.
It's a great defense against infection. And you just shower every day. That's all you got to do. Just take a shower.
Let's move on to Joshua. He's in Los Angeles. Ralph, I think this is going to be one for you. I think you're going to enjoy Josh's call. Welcome to the show, sir. What's good?
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Good. How are you doing, Josh?
What can we do for you?
Oh, I'm doing you guys' the blowout impression this morning of The Rock.
Wait, hold on a second. You're called to do an impression of The Rock?
Yes. My name is Blowout. I'm a professional wrestler.
Blowout.
And I'm also a military veteran.
Okay.
And here we go. The Rock is genetically electrifying. He emits electricity 365 days a year, including leap year. Keep your head still, jabroni. Have to smell what The Rock is cooking.
Okay, you said some of the right words, but you don't sound anything like The Rock.
I know.
Why would you call in to do an impression that you don't really do?
Because if I did a really good one, then obviously it would sound like I'm just trying to bite off The Rock. But no, I'm Josh. I'm a wrestler. I do it like that. You know what I mean?
Okay, but it's not an impression.
No, Bean, he does it like that, Bean.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood that.
Right. Go on, man.
All right, Blowout.
Okay, Blowout.
Oh, my God.
Let's go back to El Segundo. We have Robert on the line. He's line number three. Robert, welcome to the show. What's good?
Hey, I'm not sure if Ralph watches the show, but so this question is more geared towards you and Allie. Mm-hmm. What are your predictions how the night of is going to end?
Because
it ends on Sunday.
A 2-hour season finale on Sunday, and I have so many the night of feelings.
This is the HBO miniseries that's drawing to a conclusion this weekend. It has been a riveting courtroom drama about a man who is arrested for a murder. He was blacked out. He doesn't even know whether he committed it or not, but he is being charged with it, and we're going to find out on Sunday whether he gets off or not. What do you think, Robert? Spoiler alert, by the way, for folks who haven't gotten to that point of the series. What are your thoughts on what's going to happen?
From the evidence that's been presented so far, if I had to put money on it, I'd say he didn't do it.
Didn't or but did?
Did not.
Okay, but will he be convicted?
Yeah, that both sides are playing, you know, lowball cards, so I don't know if you go either way.
Robert, here's my theory.
That cat snuck back in because the gate doesn't close. That cat has DNA of the actual killer on it. And John Turturro's character, because he has that eczema and was using that black light a lot, he is going to pass under that black light. He is going to see the blood and go, oh, my God. They're going to test the DNA, find the real killer. He will be acquitted. However, he will then be charged with doing Freddy's bidding in jail and stay in jail for the rest of his life. Good night, everybody. No need to watch The Night Of.
Can we get the Rock guy back on the line, Chip? Can you get the Rock?
Allie has
a
lot of Night Of feelings, so it feelings. Sounds like.
I think the stepdad did it.
Oh, you do? You think the stepdad? He's too obvious. Stepdad is too obvious. They basically handed him to you on a platter.
I think maybe the stepdad paid...
He has something to do with it.
Some guys to do it. The two dudes. Dwayne Reed.
Can we get Beer Mug back in here to talk about pubes again?
Robert, thank you for calling. We clearly don't know what's going to happen, but I can't wait. Sunday night, I'm really looking forward to it. The Night Of is a great show you can still catch up on if you haven't started yet on the HBO Go. Hey, let's go to Victor. He's in Santa Ana. He's calling about something that came up on yesterday's show. We were talking about common phobias, and there was one on the list that I had never heard of before that apparently is so common that it's a top 10 of the things that people are most afraid of. Victor, welcome to the show. What's good?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, what's good, Victor?
All right. So I worked in an after-school program at a middle school, and one of my students wanted to scare me. And she was like, watch, you want to see this? I was like, sure, go ahead. And she told me to type in trypophobia. And so I looked it up, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever freaking seen.
Well, we were looking at a lot of the pictures yesterday on the internet. If you type it in, is it pronounced tryptophobia? I think I was saying tryptophobia yesterday, but
yeah, something like that.
And it's people who are afraid of holes.
But on the skin, it actually looks really gut wrenching. But I wanted to also say that there's a real actual case of it with the jigger flea in Africa.
Whoa, slow down. What?
The jigger flea in Africa.
Okay.
They actually lay larvae in the people's skin, and they burrow holes. And it's really sad because it gets inflamed, and then they have to cut off chunks of the people's foot.
Mm. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's really terrifying disease. I just wanted to clear it up for people that want to be tripped out if they want to see it.
But now you've confused me, Victor, because are we talking about a disease or are we talking about people who have a fear of unusual patterns that involve holes? Like I was hearing from people yesterday who can't look at their shower head, for instance, because
of the
design.
Yeah, can't look at pancakes being made.
Right, because of the bubbles, yeah. I mean, that's very different than an insect that burrows into your skin.
Well, because the insect that burrows leaves holes everywhere, like patterns of holes, like a beehive holes on your skin.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pass on that. I don't want that.
But it's a very interesting thing, and it is really scary, and I could see why it's a top 10 phobia.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Victor. Do you want to go to Jackie? Ralph, do we want to end on that note?
Yes.
Oh.
It's another Beer Mug call?
All right, Jackie.
Preach it, Jackie.
Seriously, we don't have much time. I don't want to spend all day talking about Beer Mug's pubes, but what do you have to add?
Okay, sure. I'll make it short. Okay, this girl called in. She's talking about seventh grade health class. Let's talk about college biology, okay?
Yeah, let's.
So, Beer Mug is actually kind of right in the sense that shaving does open up pores and follicles for infections that you normally would not get. If you're going to get an STI, you're going to get an STI. That's sex. That has nothing to do with pubic hair.
Thank you.
But
why are your hands still raised, Beer Mug?
Because I'm half right.
Okay. We live in a time where everything is, and a place where everything is really clean. We have Clorox wipes, and we take daily showers. We have summer's eve washes. We have all this stuff. If we lived in the time of the Black Plague, that's something that could kill you. It really is. So Beer Mug's half right.
But we don't live in a time of the Black Plague, so I can trim my pubes.
Have you been outside, Ralph?
That we have it for a reason, and it does protect us, but we protect ourselves at this point.
Yeah, we protect ourselves, exactly. So why not make it palatable for your partner, then, by maybe a little landscaping?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I think that there's no reason that you should be not shaving in this day and age. You're just like
he's not even trimming, Jackie. He's not even trimming.
Natural.
Beer Mug, she's saying there's no reason to not trim in this day and age. Why are you raising your hands in victory?
Because shaving is bad. Yes.
Okay, she's telling you that shaving isn't bad, though.
Right.
She's telling you
in this day and age it means nothing.
It opens pores and sores and all the other good stuff.
It doesn't open sores unless you already have sores. If you already have sores and you're scared to shave over them, that's your own thing.
This went okay. well for you.
Yeah, this went well for you, Beer Mug.
Jackie, thank you. Thank you for setting him straight on that.
You're
we
awesome.
Love you, too.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate Jackie. The call. This has been What's Good. What's Good? Jim Rome joins us at 8 o'clock today to talk sports. I hope he's not still mad at me. I'm really...
Bean, that was a dream you had last
nightmare
night.
Nightmare is what it was. Okay. What did I tell you? What if he had the same nightmare and now he's going to be ticked at me?
Well, any dream about you would classify.
How dare you? We got a problem here at K-Rock, you guys, and I want to know if this is happening to you where you work. Is you've got a good vibe. You're in a place where it's kind of fun because they let you be a little bit individual. They let you enjoy yourself once in a while. Yeah, you're there to work. Yeah, you're there to do a good job. But they're not trying to squash all the personality out of you. That's what it used to be like here at K-Rock. And now the man is putting us down.
Yeah?
The man is coming after us. First of all, last year, I think it's been, I think it was last year, 2015, a memo went out that you weren't allowed to bring your dog into work anymore. Look, this isn't, it's not a medical office, okay, where everything needs to be super clean or anything. Like, I could understand you don't bring a dog into a laboratory, okay? I get that. It's a radio station. Who doesn't love seeing a dog at work? What's more adorable than having a pet in the office?
I love dogs. I love dogs more than I love most humans. Mm-hmm. But there are people that don't. And there are people that are deathly allergic to dogs.
Well,
so
they're
I
wrong.
Get that.
Well,
I get
wrong.
It. Well, no, they're not. They can't help it. So I get that. But there's other things going on around here that I'm a little suspect of.
By the way, the dog memo that came out last year also added cats, snakes, hamsters, or any other pet. It is not permitted. No dogs at the office. Used to be awesome to see Kat's little bulldog, Viola, see her little blue dog, too. No more. All right. So that's thing one. Then thing two is, what kind of a world are we living in? Hey, thanks, Obama. Where now you can't come to work barefoot. Now they're instituting everyone's got to wear shoes at work.
Hello? Where is the outrage?
Where is the outrage? Thank you. There's a guy, and I won't name him, who has worked here at K-Rock for years, who never wears shoes.
Mm-mm.
He's a surfer.
Yeah.
That's his life. That's his vibe. If you ran into this guy, you would swear he lives in Hawaii. All right? That's his look. That's his vibe.
It's who he is. Just bottom line.
Bottom line. Yeah. He looks completely natural and comfortable. It's weird to see him with shoes.
Right.
Years now, he's been working here at K-Rock with no shoes. And it hasn't bothered anyone. Yet all of a sudden, now there's a memo that he's not allowed to come barefoot to work?
It bothers me when I see him in shoes. Like, randomly, once in a while, you'll see him in shoes, and then you know someone big is coming into town.
Right.
But it literally shakes me to my core, seeing him in shoes.
But, I mean, look, I get that it's a business. I understand that, and it has to be professional. But it's also K-Rock, for God's sakes. And I feel like they're squashing the fun out of it if a guy who never wears shoes all of a sudden has to wear shoes, and if a person who brings his dog in or brings her dog in and doesn't bother anybody, all of a sudden you can't do that either. I just feel like it's the man trying to shut us down. That's
I get
what
it.
I feel like.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if we're alone on this or if this is something that is this spreading nationwide? Like, do you have a story where you were doing a thing that didn't hurt anybody? There was no reason to not be able to do it anymore, but all of a sudden now you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play your music, or you can't bring in your food, or you can't, whatever it is. That's what we're looking for, is how is the man shutting you down? What do they tell you you can no longer do in the office or at your workplace? You have to join us in being mad, I think is what we're asking for here, right?
That's what we're asking, absolutely. It actually happened at a TV station I worked at. One of the reporters would bring her dog with her, and then she was told, no, you can't bring your dog. And she said, well, I'll start driving myself. Bring my dog with me. And they're like, nope, can't do that. Nope, nope, nope. And their whole thing was, well, what if something happened? What if the dog bit someone? It was like a liability thing. But it hurts morale. It just makes people not want to do their job.
Yeah, you want to be comfortable. You want to feel like there's some individuality is allowed. Otherwise, you just feel like you're in a long line of drones in a hallway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the topic on the table here. How did the man shut you down at work? And what are we going to do about it? USA! US! I'm not sure that applies. Okay. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. I'm getting sad looking at these calls on hold, Allie.
Yeah.
About the man keeping the worker down. Oh,
some of these are awful.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Jasmine writes in, at my old job, my coworker and I shared a two-person cubicle. We each had cardboard cutouts. Mine was Jax from Sons of Anarchy. Hers was Justin Bieber. Hey, don't judge. We had them for a year. No one had any problem with them. Then one day, management announced they had to go. I quit shortly after that. See, this is what I'm talking about. What's the point of saying to a good employee, hey, you can't have a cardboard cutout in your cubicle, for God's sakes?
Power trip.
Let somebody enjoy their cubicle as best they can. All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Some of these I don't even understand. Let's try Kyle in Burbank to get us going. He's on line five. Kyle, thank you for listening and for holding. How did the man try to shut you down?
Oh, well, I work for a coffee company, and we do wholesale beans and catering service, and we have our own cups to provide for those. And the drivers, we would, sample the cups, have some water or coffee in the morning. We were told we weren't allowed to have them, and that if we continued to do so, we would be written up.
Hold on a sec. You weren't allowed to use your own coffee cups to have?
No, the company's cups. Like the styrofoam cups that you provide for the catering.
Because they thought you were using too many of them and they were saving them for someone else?
I guess so, but it didn't make sense because if we ever brought back extra cups, from the catering, they told us that they'd write us up for bringing back the cups because they were already paid for.
Wow. Wow, that's tough to keep all that straight, isn't it? All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Stephanie. She's in Orange. She's on line four. Hey, Stephanie, how did the man keep you down?
Morning. No energy drinks at work.
What?
Yeah. So I was in college working full-time, and I needed energy drinks to stay alive and awake.
Right.
And I had it on my desk. Someone made a mention of it. Next day, memo went out. No energy drinks at work.
How can they tell you what to drink at your job?
Your guess is as good as mine. It was a city job, and I don't know. They didn't know.
Did they misunderstand? Did they think somehow that energy drinks had alcohol in them, maybe?
I don't know. I was the youngest person there. Maybe they just thought, these are bad for you. Don't do it.
Right.
Wait, you can't drink alcohol at work?
That's the one thing they haven't taken away from us here at K-Rock. Look, that surprises me, but I would think most businesses would encourage their employees to drink energy drinks. I mean, that's where you get the most out of them, right?
Old school thinking, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening, Stephanie. We appreciate it. Let's try Alex in La Mirada. She's on line eight. Hey, Alex, how did the man keep you down?
Yes, I work in a call center, and they took away our hat day on casual Mondays and Fridays.
Wait a minute. What was hat day?
Well, casual Fridays and Mondays, we can wear jeans, and they took away our ability to wear hats. You know, if we didn't want to comb our hair and we just throw a hat on, they took that away. We can't wear hats on casual days anymore.
Did they give a reason?
No, just they didn't want us to wear hats on casual jean day.
I got to tell you, Allie would quit this job if she weren't allowed to wear a hat like 4 days a week.
What the hell?
And what was their reason? Like, how could a hat possibly impact your ability to do a good job at a call center?
I don't know. It's kind of lame, you know. We wear a headset all day. We're in cubicles. We don't see anybody. Nobody knows what we're wearing. We just can't wear hats, and it's kind of lame.
Yeah, it really is. All right. I'm really sorry to hear that, Alex, but thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Amanda. She's on line seven. I may be siding with management on this one. Let's find out. Let's hear this. Amanda, how did the man keep you down?
Good morning. You guys are the best. So we're not allowed to whistle at work anymore.
Well, was that a thing that was an essential part of your day, was whistling?
Yes. Yes, because I'm a professional whistler.
What?
Okay, hold on. What just happened? What just
Back
happened?
Up.
Okay, that's a joke, the professional whistler. But
okay.
I work in a city where a lot of people are from Russia, and they're very superstitious. And if you whistle indoors, it brings bad luck to you. So we're not allowed to whistle anymore.
Oh, that's so funny. I would have guessed anything that it was just that somebody complained that it was annoying to listen to you whistle. But you think it had to do with other people's superstitions.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Well,
all right. Hey, whistle something for us before we say goodbye.
All right.
Well, you're not quite a professional yet, but thank you for calling. We appreciate it. All right, we got to squeeze in a couple more real quick. This is something else. Victoria in Alhambra, please, line 3. I have so much sympathy for so many of our callers on this one. Like here at K-Rock, the man is keeping us down. Victoria, what happened?
Hi. So I was working for one of the counselors.
I'm sorry. Say that again. You cut out for a second. You're working where?
One of the county fairs.
County fairs. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and I was an area supervisor, so I was helping everything run smoothly. They hired me on with my multicolored hair, my tattoos, and my piercings. 2 weeks into my job, they decided to tell me I can't have my tattoo showing, I can't have dyed hair, I have to dye it now.
How
two
about
weeks
that?
In? Not even before you took
Don't
the job.
Know why. Yeah, they hired me on with it. I was working 2 weeks there. Everything was fine. And then all of a sudden, it's like, nope, you got
to
dye it.
So was that just a way for them to fire you, basically? I mean, you can't really do anything about it, right? Hello?
Oh, hello. Hi.
They got you. Were they just trying to fire you? They probably didn't think you were going to re-dye your hair, wear long sleeves, and take out your piercings, right?
Yeah, basically I had to take out my piercings and I had to cover up my tattoos. I had to buy an actual tattoo cover-up makeup because I have one on my chest and my hands.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work
but
for a county fair job.
I refused to dye my hair. It was. But they have this hairspray hair dye that I just dyed my hair black.
Thank you for the call, Victoria. Appreciate that. Rebecca writes in, the Kevin Bean Twitter account, my work banned Pokemon Go. We can't even talk about it, much less play. I bet there's a lot of places that are banning Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more. I apologize to those we didn't have time to get to. Let's go to Palmdale. Let's talk to Steven. He has a very real concern. Steven, how is the man holding you down?
What up, guys?
What up, Steven?
Hey. All right, so several of us in the... At my work in the office, we listen to K-Rock, and we call in for tickets, for all kinds of stuff. So a couple of years back, they sent out a thing saying that we weren't allowed to call K-Rock anymore.
They specifically mentioned you can't call K-Rock. It wasn't about using the phone for personal reasons. It was don't call K-Rock.
Yeah, my friend Nina and I, we're the main ones who call K-Rock. Like, anytime you guys are doing awesome tickets, we're like... redial, you know, from the office phone because it's much easier than doing it from our cell phone. Sometimes you don't get through as fast.
Are you at work right now?
I'm actually driving in. There was a car accident, so I'm barely getting in right now. I'm pretty sure she's behind me, too, listening to you guys right now.
I'm only disappointed you didn't wait till you got to work to make this phone call just to drive the point home. All right, Steven, thanks a lot.
We still call from the office every once in a while, but we have dialed it down a little bit.
Hey, man, don't let the man keep you down. Thanks for calling.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Ralph, you're great with accents. Was that guy Chicago or Wisconsin, or what was he all about? Where's he from, that guy?
He's from Urban Town, a generic place where the city people talk like this.
All right. We will catch up with the great Jim Rome on sports right after 8. First time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
I want to give everybody a heads up. Tomorrow night, if you're down in Orange County near the Irvine area, you'll get a chance to see Kevin Smith and his little pal Ralph Garman doing Hollywood Babylon at the Improv in Irvine.
No.
It's a great venue, by the way. It's delicious and tasty and lots of booze and food and stuff.
Do they have sliders?
I'm sorry, what happened?
Do they have sliders?
The Irvine Improv?
Yeah, I love a good slider.
I don't know the menu. I just know.
You just said good food.
Well, it's delicious. I've had chicken. I know they have chicken.
No.
Fine.
Tender type things that are delicious.
No.
Go to improv.com, click on Irvine, then you'll see the Hollywood Babylon show for tomorrow night. We'd love to have you come out and join us.
Not once, not never. Nope.
Yeah, once, maybe once. We found patient zero when it comes to this dumb naming your kids BS. This freaking guy. You know celebrity chef Jamie Oliver?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ugh. This guy.
Do we not like him?
No.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I didn't have any problem with Jamie Oliver.
Well, you will now.
All right.
He and his wife, Jules, first of all, J-O-O-L-S, already, my teeth are on edge. They just had a new addition to their family, a new little boy, adorable little boy.
Aww.
That has been slapped with the name River Rocket Oliver. River Rocket Oliver.
That's trying too hard.
Yeah. You think? Well, maybe he can turn to his four older siblings for help.
Uh-oh.
14-year-old Poppy Honey Rosie. 13-year-old Daisy Boo Pamela. 7-year-old Petal Blossom Rainbow.
Wow.
And 5-year-old big brother Buddy Bear Maurice.
Buddy Bear.
Stop it.
Oh, wow. Oh,
you. Right?
I'm sorry. Let me hear those names again, please.
Well, the new one is River Rocket.
River Rocket.
River Rocket Oliver.
Uh-huh.
14-year-old Poppy Honey Rosie Oliver.
Uh-huh.
13-year-old Daisy Boo Pamela Oliver.
Daisy Boo.
7-year-old Petal Blossom Rainbow Oliver. Ugh. And, of course, 5-year-old big brother Buddy Bear Maurice Oliver.
Ha! Huh.
Buddy Bear.
Stop saying Buddy Bear like it's okay.
It's cute. Ugh.
It's not going to be cute when he goes to get a job when he's 35 and he goes into the insurance office with his CV and they say, "So, Buddy Bear, would you really like the management position here?" "I'm afraid we can't have that, you see, because your name is Buddy Bear. Please, on your way. Thank you."
So that's even probably pre-Apple, right?
I don't know. How old's Apple?
Apple's got to be
7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Apple was right about Petal Blossom time.
Yeah. You know who
my favorite time of year, by the way.
Petal Blossom time.
Oh, I love going
that
to
time of year
DC.
Is beautiful.
You see the park there by the reflecting pool and you see all the petal blossoms?
You know who in my mind, when I think about celebrities who got too creative with the names, the name that comes to my mind is Bob Geldof. Remember, he had Peaches, mm-hmm. and he had Pixie, and he had Fifi Trixie Belle. Remember, he was that guy.
Yeah.
Well, the Phoenix family, they had River, and Joaquin was Leaf.
There was
that
Leaf.
Rainbow and Liberty.
Yeah. I think there was a Winter, maybe.
But I believe that was sort of like a post-acid flashback
were,
70s hippie thing.
They were a commune kind of family.
Right. There was a moment in time, late 60s, early 70s, where that was a culture.
Yeah.
But we've moved on.
I thought
we've all grown
had.
Up.
Maybe.
I think names are crazier now than they've ever been. Though.
Yeah,
ever.
I agree. And it's horrible and needs to stop.
Because there used to be a time where you would give a person a name and it didn't matter that other people had that name. But
it
now,
still doesn't.
But now, for many parents, their kid is a snowflake and they have to be special.
If you want your child to grow up to be someone who distinguishes themselves, teach them to do things that are of value. Instead of giving them a unique name and thinking, boom, my job's done, they're automatically special.
And that's why everyone should be named Fan Bing Bing.
Fan Bing Bing, that's right. Or Lee Bing Bing. Well, just make sure there's Bing Bing in it.
Yeah, Bean.
Bean, another one.
Dave
Bean.
Brings up, while we're placing blame, let's not forget the Zappas.
Oh, sure, the Zappas.
Dweezil and
They
Moon
were way
Unit.
Out there with Dweezil and Moon Unit,
well,
right?
Well, that Frank Zappa's their dad.
Yeah, he was a loon to begin with. I mean, loony
give
people
some
are going to get loony names.
But I think to prove our point, though, he was a great musician who's remembered fondly. His name was Frank. That's not what the most interesting thing about him was.
It's true.
Was his
the
name.
Most talented it's, of all the Zappas was named Frank.
Was named Frank.
Keep that in mind. But he was a counterculture rock and roll rebel.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver cooks omelets for a living.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Agreed.
Stop it indeed.
What is it? Petal Blossom?
Petal Blossom, Poppy Honey Rose, Daisy Boo, and Buddy Bear.
Buddy Bear.
That's the cast of a Saturday morning cartoon show. It's not a family. It's something you see on Nick Jr. Those aren't people.
I don't like that.
God damn it.
Ralph, it's going to be okay.
It's not okay. Look what's happening.
They got to stop him, right?
If only there was a way. If only there was a way! Britney Spears had a scary moment.
Uh-oh.
She says in an interview that she had to fight for her life.
To party?
That's right.
Off the coast of Hawaii on a vacation recently. Said she went for a little swim in the Pacific. Suddenly discovered she was stuck in an undertow.
Oh.
For like 5 minutes, she says. No, it wasn't like 5 minutes, because you'd be dead. And I literally almost drowned, she says. She's the best. I can listen to her talk forever. She said she wondered if security was going to let her die out there, if her security team was going to let her die there. Oh, it's their job. They have to keep you from drowning yourself, dumbass. But she finally made it back to shore. Brittany also said if they offered her the halftime Super Bowl show, she would absolutely do it. No word on whether anyone is offering her.
She said that after she came in from
the halftime Super Bowl.
Water?
I don't think it happened in rapid succession, Allie. I think this is all part of the same interview.
I literally almost died, but I'd do the Super Bowl.
That's right. I was underwater for like 5 minutes, but I could do like a 15-minute show at the Super Bowl. Anybody got a towel? Where are my Cheetos?
By the way, if this new album, Glory, comes out and it's as good as the advance word is on it and she starts having big hits again, she might not be a terrible choice for the Super Bowl next year. I feel like she would be back.
Yeah, maybe.
And she's the right kind of act for that show with the singing and the dancing. She's got a lot of hits.
A lot of things would be exploding around her.
Yeah.
Right?
She could wear that snake again.
Yeah.
Do stuff and shake her ass. I guess that would work. Speaking of Britney Spears, Lifetime, the network, has announced they will be doing a 2-hour biopic about the life and career of Britney Spears called Britney. Australian actress Natasha Bassett will star as Britney Spears. You may remember her from Hail Caesar. Camera start rolling next month in Vancouver, and Lifetime hopes to have it ready to premiere in 2017. So the life story of Britney Spears on the small screen on Lifetime.
All right. We got to get Catherwood to play Federline.
Right?
Popozelle. That'd be great.
Yeah. And more music news. Looks like Prince and his estate will be going the way of Elvis. Paisley Park, his home and studio complex, is going to be opened to the public as a museum, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Paisley Park is teaming up with Graceland Holdings, the folks who run Elvis Presley's home and museum, to make Prince's Palace a place that you can visit. The $10 million facility opened up in 1987 and was the source of all things Prince for the remainder of his life. And I guess that's a good idea.
Your level of interest, kids, in going to see Paisley Park in person?
If I was in Minneapolis,
I'd stop by.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Tickets go on sale Friday for tours of Paisley Park, but you have to get them online at officialpaisleypark.com is the place you can get your tickets. And by the way, speaking of Graceland, apparently they're doing major construction there at his home. They're building a giant entertainment complex across the street from the house. They're building a couple hundred-room hotel next to the house. They're going to make it a theme park, in essence. That whole stretch of Elvis Presley Boulevard is going to be turned in sort of an Elvis Graceland theme park.
All right. I'm in.
I went. When I was driving across country to move to California, I made a point of stopping into Graceland and seeing the joint.
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I've been like 7 times.
You're better than us. No, he's not. He's worse than us, Allie.
Oh, see, I thought he was better.
Who has to go to Graceland 7 times? Who has to go there?
They always update it with new Elvis stuff.
No, they don't.
Oh, that's
They've
right.
They've got the same carpet in the jungle room from 1975. It hasn't changed a stick.
I'd like to pay my respects.
What?
7 times?
What are you?
I love Elvis.
He doesn't need your respects paid that much. You've overpaid.
I used to go out, like, just for a weekend. I would drive. It was only 14 hours from where I live.
So oh!
It was only 14 hours!
Ow, you're physically hurting me with your dumbness.
So I would just drive to Memphis, go to Graceland,
a
turn around and drive back. 14-hour
drive?
Yeah, it's Elvis, you guys. It's the king.
Right, so once you go the first time, you go, oh, you know what? I've been to Graceland. That was my thing. I did that once. Then the next 6 times, what's the thought process?
A couple times I went for the big anniversary of his death celebration. You know, they do that the big event around August 16th every year. I went to a couple of those, for instance, just because you hear the speakers, the musicians, and things like that are paying to give tribute.
What speakers left an impression on you there at Death Day at Graceland?
Well, it's generally people from the inner circle. It's, you know, people from his crew that would come out and say his Priscilla would get up and speak sometimes.
Just taking care of business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
TCB in a flash.
I'll go back when they get this new thing
going. I want you
going.
To meet Elvis today. I want you to spend some time with him for reals.
Oh, dead.
See, Allie, nothing gets past you.
I thought we were all having fun.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Sean Connery, Regis Philbin, Gene Simmons, Bob Bob. I call him Bob. Rob Halford from Judas Priest. Elvis Costello, Tim Burton, Billy Ray Cyrus, Rachel Ray, Alexander Skarsgård, Rachel Bilson, and Blake Lively all celebrate.
Did you give Rachel Ray a bell?
I was expecting Bilson. I'm sorry. That was my bad.
Holy crap.
All right.
Thank you.
Took that back. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About this time every week, we welcome our good friend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show, back to the Kevin and Bean program. How are you, sir?
The Bean and Alley Show.
Well,
up,
we still call it Kevin and Bean. We do believe Kevin will be returning for us next week.
Not me. Like I said, every single week, I said this last week, between the four of us, one of us is always missing in this segment every single week.
It's true.
You may be right about that. You can hear the show at JimRome.com. Hey, there's also a Jim Rome's Daily Jungle podcast. This isn't new, is it, Jim? Why am I just hearing about this?
My man, it is brand new. It is brand new. And as you know, Bean, that people cannot sit down except for your show and listen to it from start to finish. So what we have done is we have taken the very best of the jungle. If you can't listen to the entire program every single day, we have a podcast of the best. Alvin DeLauro cranks it out. And all you have to do to get that is go to iTunes and search Jim Rome or go to jimrome.com, and you are a stud for bringing that up. Thank you.
Oh, that's
see you next
awesome.
Week. See you next week.
Out. The best takes, out. Interviews, calls, sound bites, and so much more again on iTunes or play.it or jimrome.com. All right, let's talk about this week. First of all, when Clayton Kershaw went down, and he is the great white hope of the Los Angeles Dodgers, not only the best pitcher on that team, the best pitcher in all of baseball, in my opinion, we all thought, well, that's it for another year. How are the Dodgers not only continuing to win, but looking great night after night to find themselves in first place, Jim?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just kidding. Hey, Clayton Kershaw, I'm going to own this myself. When he went down, I thought that their season might be over. And then when they did not pull the trigger on any major deals at the trade deadline, I knew their season would be over.
Right.
Except they just kept getting better and better and better. And to the question of how, look, it's hard to explain, except that when he went down, the offense just took off. All these guys started to rake. And while they've had 27 guys on the DL, it's a really deep team with a very good bullpen. And on top of that, you have a front office that didn't panic. They didn't make any desperation moves, and you got a manager in Dave Roberts who kept his guys on the grind and believing. But most of all, they're just playing really good baseball when the Giants are playing really bad baseball, and it's coming together really nicely.
It really is, and I give Coach Roberts so much credit, too. Every time I see that guy, I'm so impressed with the way he manages, the way he handles that team, and the decisions they make like this, like getting Rich Hill in, getting a guy from Oakland who was hurt, and nurturing him back to health and have him put that gutsy performance that he put up last night from the mound to beat the Giants 1-0. I mean, that was great baseball.
Yeah, it was great baseball, and you can't underestimate exactly how important he is, Dave Roberts. I mean, these guys could certainly have mailed it in, but he's just got them believing, look, we can get this done. And they've got that depth. Let's not forget, they were 8 games back at one point, and now they've got a 3-game lead in the NL West. And the best thing is, Kershaw is saying that he's going to make it back. And if he comes back and he's anywhere near what he normally is, these guys are going to win the NL West. They're going to win the NL West, and they could do even better than that. But I threw dirt on them earlier. It's incredible that they are where they are.
Can just they not sign Justin Turner to like a 30-year contract today?
No, yeah, they can't. Is that a trick question, Allie?
Yes.
Can they not sign? Is that like a double negative?
No.
Is this the SAT?
It is.
I'm so confused. What are you asking me?
Yeah, that home run impressed you. That's what it sounds like, Allie.
They've got to re-sign that guy for many, many years.
Well, they will probably take care of him if he keeps doing Justin Turner type things like the way he did.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. They've got more money than God. They're the little $250 million team that could, aren't they?
That's what they are.
Hey, real quick before we move on to the NFL, just on the flip side, your one sentence take. Socia's out this year, right? This is it for Mike Socia for the Angels, right?
Not necessarily.
How can it not be?
Because he's funny like that, right? I mean, you could drop a bomb on this guy and he could somehow just be the one guy who survives it. I don't know. He's got a track record there, and it seems like right when he's about to circle the drain, they've got to go in a different direction. He lives to fight another day. I would not assume that he is out. If I were a betting man, I would say it's at least 50-50 they bring him back.
I just feel like when you start getting 10-game losing streaks during the course of a season, it seems like some of that's got to come back on the manager. All right, we'll wait and see. Let's move on to the NFL. There's been so much talk about football this year because, hey, now we've got a team. And not all of it is great, Jim. Your take on 2 weekends in a row of violence at the Coliseum that ends up on YouTube after the Rams game, what's going on?
All right, so there's this angle that, well, the Rams are back. Fighting in the stadium is the reason the L.A. never had an NFL team for 20 years. And, look, that's not an L.A. thing. That's a moron booze thing. That happens when really miserable people drink copious amounts of booze, and they care more about their team than they do almost anything else in life. Then faces get broken. YouTube clips get uploaded. You know, so that's not about football in L.A. There's not a stadium in the NFL where that sort of thing has not happened. The NFL did not refuse to put a team here because faces were getting broken in the Coliseum. They didn't put a team here because fans were not showing up in the Coliseum. So believe me, you, this could happen anywhere, and I'm not surprised that it's happening here. It'll happen in every other stadium.
The Rams, of course, say that security is their priority number one at the Coliseum. So I assume we're just going to see more and more, you know, yellow shirts out there in the crowd just to do everything they can. But people, you know, 90,000 people plus alcohol, even if only two or three people fight, it's going to make the news. But it's certainly not representative of the whole crowd, right?
No, it's not. Of course not. But it's going to happen. And, it, you know, this doesn't speak to the Rams, but just generally speaking, this is why there's yet another reason to stay home. This is why people do not want to go to the stadium and watch the game. You can say to me that there's nothing like seeing it in person. I could even argue that, yes, there is. You can see it at home in HD and not pay crazy prices for tickets or $25 to park or $12 for a beer or $10 for a burger or wait in line for the bathroom and then risk getting your face caved in by wearing the wrong jersey or looking at somebody the wrong way. This is why people are staying at home. So, no, it's not guaranteed that that will happen if you go there, but it certainly can be a deterrent.
We are talking to our friend Jim Rome here on the Kevin Bean Show for his weekly visit. While we're talking the NFL in L.A., if you had to put a number on it, how likely is it the Chargers will also end up here?
You know, if you were to ask me that question before yesterday, I would say a pretty good possibility. But after seeing what's going on with their top draft pick, Joey Bosa, it's looking more and more like it's likely. And I got to say, in the event this happens, and it could very well happen, it's all wrong on so many different levels. I mean, San Diego leaving for L.A. is wrong. It's been nearly impossible. I can't imagine that town without the Chargers. But if you really want to stab their fans in the heart, have them go to a town that everybody in San Diego hates. San Diego hates L.A.
Right.
All right, so the Charger fans are not going to follow them when they get there. The L.A. residents aren't going to care because the Rams have already come back. The Charger players don't want to go. And I don't even think the Rams as a team or organization want them there. There is nothing good about this being, and it could happen. It could very well happen.
Yeah, it does sound like a bad fit. Speaking of San Diego, you're going to be taking the show on the road for the clones that want to come out and see you. Where are you going to be tomorrow, Jim?
My man, Del Mar Racetrack. I was thinking about this. I have not done a live show in San Diego where I got my start, my big break in 20 freaking years.
Wow.
So we've got a remote show tomorrow at the Del Mar Racetrack starting at 9 a.m. and going till 12 noon. If you get there early enough, it is free to attend. It is free to park. You can check out the show. So if you're in L.A., you're in the Valley, anywhere, you want to make that road trip down and see the show live, I would love to see you.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. JimRome.com to hear the show on Twitter at Jim Rome. And don't forget the Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is the new podcast available through the website at play.it or on iTunes. Great chat, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
Being your heroic ally. Peace.
Bye. Keep listening for your chance to win your way into our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
That's right. It's coming up next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up. Also, the beautiful, lovely, talented actress Kate Mara is going to be joining us in moments. Hey, Dr. Drupinski.
Hey, Bean, what's happening?
So glad you made some time for us today. We know you're very, very busy with all your jobs. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, we're winding up for something that's making me nervous. What's going
on? No, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. I saw a story the other day, and I think it was on your show, where you were interviewing somebody about a possible insanity defense for that kid that we all talked about last year who was arrested a second time for impersonating a doctor. The short version of his story was what, doctor? He's 19 years old. He had no medical training, but he pretended to be a doctor and saw patients, right?
He saw patients. He claimed to be some sort of spiritual advisor. He had this website where he laid claim to multiple different sort of disciplines. And he called himself a doctor and defended it in a television interview that he was a doctor. It turned out he'd done some sort of online training. Basically, you fill out a form and they give you a PhD. And it was bizarre, to say the least. And one of the issues that was discussed was, could the defense be that this kid just really is insane? He doesn't understand what he's doing.
Okay, and that was so fascinating to me because this is the point where medicine and law so often have to intersect in a courtroom and a jury has to believe a very complicated thing to believe, which is that a person doesn't know what he's doing, that he is incapable of knowing right from wrong because he's got a mental health problem, right?
That's exactly right. Now, there is a tremendous distinction between what we think, what we define clinically as insane versus what is insane in the eyes of the law. In the eyes of the law, you need to be able to not really understand right from wrong, essentially not know what you're doing, at least for the moment in which you commit the crime. But that typically also includes suggesting that if there was planning and if you sort of cognitively understood logically what you were planning for, it's a pretty hard defense when you actually went and did it. Even though you might have been so rageful you blacked out when you did it, mm-hmm. you still are kind of knew what you were doing. On the other hand, if you walked in, Dean, you walk in on your wife and she's with somebody and you grab a knife on the dresser, as is the customary, you keep it there, and you stab at somebody and you don't remember anything, someone might argue that you didn't know right from wrong. Or if you're just so crazy, you're out on the street, you don't know where you are, you don't know what day it is, you're like the guy that ate someone's face, that situation in Florida, pretty hard to argue that guy knew what he was doing. But they are still going to say, they might say, that, well, that kid knowingly, maybe, we don't know this, but one of the arguments could be, that kid knowingly took a drug that made him that crazy, therefore the insanity offense no longer applies.
Because it would almost be premeditated if he knew he was going to take something?
It's not premeditated so much as, look, you understood what happened when you took that drug. You understood that could be an untoward reaction. Therefore, even though you didn't know right from wrong when you did it, you knew right from wrong when you took that drug, which is kind of a weird, crazy kind of a wrinkle in the law. Now, clinically, we look at insane as psychotic. That's typically what we're talking about, or encephalopathic, where you really either are so disoriented you don't know where you are or what you're doing, or you have a thought disorder, you're hallucinating, you're disconnected from reality, you're manic, you don't know, you really just don't know where you are, what's going on. Your brain is almost seizing in that sense. That's always the way I kind of explain it to people.
Okay, so there's the legal definition, there's the medical definition. Which one is more closely insane in the membrane?
Clinical.
I just feel like, Dr. Drew, I feel like that an insanity defense is something that many attorneys just have as an arrow in their quiver as a way to get a lesser sentence for some awful thing that somebody's done. And I feel like they try to convince you. Look, the kid that climbed the Trump Tower a couple of weeks ago, he put those suction cups on and climbed 25 stories up in the air to try to talk to Donald Trump. Is that guy insane, or is that guy – I mean, how do we know whether that guy's insane or if that guy just thought, hey, this is a good way to get everybody's attention and maybe get me a meeting with this or Trump? Like, I don't even know how you were able to tell after the fact whether he was insane when he did it or not.
Well, I've actually learned through talking to many attorneys that the application of the insanity defense is actually not only very difficult, rarely applied, which I find kind of bizarre. I think there are situations when, to my eye, there's clearly insanity, but – they just won't do it. There's many different sort of gray zones where I think they could make that argument, but they don't trust that juries would really understand the nuances of these things. As it pertains to the kid driving the Trump Tower, climbing the Trump Tower, what they would argue is, hey, look, he got those suction cups. He planned it out. He walked over to the building. He knew what it meant to climb a building, and that's it.
Right.
Even though he may have thought he was climbing to Mars, it doesn't matter because he was sort of aware of what he was doing in the planning phases.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And the other one that came to mind that was in the news a lot lately was John Hinckley, the man who tried to assassinate President Reagan. The reason he didn't go to jail and went to a mental health facility instead was because they thought he was insane when he pulled the trigger because he was doing it to impress an actress, right?
Yes, and Bean, it was actually that case that led to the more stringent rules around the application of the insanity defense. It's actually that case that caused change. Yeah. And so that's why now he would not today meet criteria for the insanity defense.
Really?
Wow.
How come?
Because he got a gun. He knew what he was doing. He knew who the president was. He understood he was going to kill him. He understood it was not a good idea, but he had a distorted idea about what his goal was. He was psychotic. So in my mind, he was insane. But he kind of knew right from wrong in that moment.
Interesting. So I guess there are, you can probably find, and this is another reason why this would be tough in a court of law, is you can find an expert to back up any opinion in a case like this. I'm sure there are equal people on both sides of the aisle who would be willing to argue for and against an insanity defense.
Yes, and again, that's why it tends to be something only applied in the most obvious of circumstances.
Very interesting. All right, Dr. Drew, I knew you'd have something to say about that. You can follow Dr. Drew on Twitter at Dr. Drew. DrDrew.com is his website where you can catch up with all of his podcasts with Adam Carolla and others. Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Thursdays at 4. And, of course, with our friend Mike Cathwood Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Have yourself a great week, Doc. We'll do it again.
Thanks, guys. We'll do it.
Hey, you're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. In a moment, we'll have the lovely actress Kate Mara on the phone. She's so good, by the way.
She's good in everything.
It's great in The Martian, tell you that.
All right.
She was phenomenal in House of Cards,
mm-hmm.
where she was nominated for an Emmy, in fact. And she has a new film that is coming out Labor Day weekend that looks great. It is called Morgan. You know, no one loves the artificial intelligence more than I do. You know that.
I know.
I love the robots that you can't quite – I mean, they're so human. They're more human than human. That's what I love about some of these robots. But things don't always go great when you start fooling around with things like that in the lab. And that's the impression I get of what happened with Morgan. Here's a clip of the trailer of the film, again, opening up Labor Day Friday.
Doctor, this is Lee Weathersfield Corporate.
I'm just looking for some information about Morgan.
It's the next step in evolution. It's bioengineered with synthetic DNA.
I'd like to discuss the incident, if that's okay.
She had a tantrum. There was joy in her heart.
It needs to be terminated.
I'm starting to feel like myself.
Dude, you had me at it needs to be terminated.
You love Morgan already.
I do. It just because it looks like a human, but it's not. And Kate's character, Lee Weathers, looks so calm, cool, and collected. She has no idea what she's in for. Let's welcome Kate Mara to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. This movie looks fantastic, Kate, for reals.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I loved the script so much. And, you know, sometimes when you're in a movie and you watch it, it's not quite as enjoyable as what you imagined it could be.
Sure.
But this one's actually one that I really enjoyed watching just as a moviegoer.
Well, how far off are we from a thing like Morgan happening?
Well, according to Ridley Scott, who I trust with these things because he's kind of an expert, he seems to think it's happening or has already happened. So, I don't know. I find it so disturbing that I try not to think about it too much.
So they're living amongst us and we don't know?
No, I think they're probably kept in cages somewhere.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
This took a turn.
That did. But let me ask you this, just as an opinion, Kate. Just as a human who lives on the Earth and like everybody else, can be scared with how fast technology is advancing. If it were up to you, would you make this artificial intelligence, these robots, would you make them look and act just like humans, or would you go out of your way to make them continue to look like robots so that we don't kind of get our mind fooled into treating them like real people?
I honestly would not go about creating them at all. If you watch this movie, it's definitely a cautionary tale of what not to do.
Things don't go well.
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
I don't know how much you factor in who you're going to be working with when you take a role, if it's all script or whatever. But when you show up and Toby Jones is there and Jennifer Jason Leigh and Michelle Yeoh and Paul Giamatti, it just must feel like an actor's dream.
Yeah, I mean, this one specifically, I was the first person to sign on to it. And so I just felt so lucky that the director would sort of email me every time he hired another member of the cast, and I just every person he hired, I was just more and more excited about it. I mean, Jennifer Jason Leigh is a legend.
Come on.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And this actress that's playing Morgan, Anya Taylor-Joy, I didn't see The Witch, so I don't know much about her, but she looks incredible. I mean, she has nailed playing a robot.
She's really fantastic, and this was only her second movie, so It's kind of a remarkable feat. I mean, she's so different in real life than she has been in both the movies that people will have seen her in, which just makes it that much more impressive.
The film is called Morgan. It opens up in theaters everywhere next Friday, September 2nd, just in time for Labor Day weekend. Allie, you were saying while we're waiting to get Kate on the phone that you guys kind of have something in common.
We have very similar upbringings because I come from a huge Irish family, and my mom's the oldest of 10. There are 40 first cousins, and I was telling Bean, I look on Instagram at my cousins, and I'm like, oh, crap, there's another baby. I don't even know who this kid is now.
Honestly, you're one of the only people that's ever we could probably compete. I mean, I still win because my dad's one of 11. But,
oh, you win.
But we do have probably the same problem with. I mean, anytime we go either to a football game, so as like a, it's like a family reunion every Sunday,
right?
Or a holiday. There's a few more, you know, cousins I have that I don't know that I have to sort of attempt to memorize their names. It's a nightmare.
Absolutely. I feel you, Kate.
That's so crazy because, I mean, we're talking cousins. We're talking actually close related family members.
But now they're all having kids, Bean, at a rapid pace. I cannot keep up.
It's overwhelming. I mean, they just keep popping them out.
How many relatives do you think you have, even if you don't like go way down the family tree, but just among, you know, actual aunts and uncles and first and second cousins? How many do you think the total is, Kate?
I mean, on my dad's side, it's probably 70. Because they're all married and then they all have at least three children, at least.
Yeah.
And then my mom is one of five and they all have just endless children.
Wow, something in the water up there, New England.
What's she's happening? New York, and mine's Boston. They are doing it.
Oh, yeah, East Coast. Yeah. Watch out.
Yep.
See, that's
cold winters.
When it gets to be cold, I guess you make the babies. So, all right.
I live in L.A.
And that's why you're the one with no kids, because it's just too hot for that. Exactly. Well, we're very excited about the movie. I mean, there's nothing like a first-class science fiction movie. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so exciting. And Luke Scott, do I have this right? Kate, Luke, your director, is Ridley's son, right?
Yeah, it runs in their family because all of Ridley's kids are directors. And clearly they have not just a passion for directing, but they also have the same, you know, a similar passion for science fiction because, you know, obviously Ridley is the man at that. Yeah, but this movie is Luke's first feature, which is so, when you watch it. You'll see it's really impressive. It's really impressive.
Wow. Everything looks like it really came together. Go see Morgan, guys. Labor Day weekend. Kate, glad we had a chance to catch up with you. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up?
What you talking about?
How did robot sex not come up during that interview?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of robot sex lately, and I guess...
We have?
He's all robot sexed out.
Maybe you have.
There's a refractory period that I need to wait until I can bring up robot sex again.
I just lost a lot of money, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, you were convinced I was going
to
bring it
up. If you're talking to... If it's Bean is talking to an attractive woman...
See?
...about a movie about a female robot...
Yeah.
What would the odds be? You think in Vegas?
I would go the opposite because I think he wouldn't want to be as creepy to Kate Mara.
When has he ever stopped
She's
to think
different.
Through
She's
the creepy
different.
Factor of anything he's ever said to anyone?
You bring up a good point.
I'm just saying.
But I feel like she's different. You don't want to creep her out.
Bookies in Vegas are flipping out.
Really?
Some casinos are having to close in Vegas because of the odds they were laying. Yes, so.
Allie, I think you called it exactly right. She is too smart, and I felt like she would not handle any of my nonsense. If I brought it up,
that has never stopped you once ever.
Look,
or anything.
I'm trying. My artificial intelligence has been turned up, and I am trying to learn. I'm trying to respond more appropriately to my environment.
You're a miracle. This is pretty cool. Let's say you're in Toronto.
I am in Toronto
on Wednesday night
at
the Molson Amphitheater, and you're there to see Prophets of Rage. That's a good show, right? Prophets of Rage.
Sure. Yeah,
you got Tom Morello and Tim Comerford. Brad Wilk, Chuck D, DJ Lord, Be Real. Come on.
That's a great night.
That's a good night. That's enough for you. That's enough. It's more than you deserve, probably.
Absolutely.
So what happens when it's time for the encore and Be Real comes out and says, you're going to flip the F out right now.
Uh-oh.
And Dave Grohl walks on stage.
What?
Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl hits the stage for the encore, picks up a guitar, stands front and center, and just launches into Kick Out the Jams.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah. It is, it's a favorite of Grohl and his buddies. Apparently they've played it once before. He joined Pearl Jam in on that song at a Belgium rock festival in
And Rage Against the Machine recorded it too back in the day.
Yeah. So we thought you'd like to hear a little taste. Here is Dave and the boys doing Kick Out the Jams.
I know how you want a true hot wig of tight. Dino gone, that dino meter tight. Let me get on the stand. Well, let me kick out the jam. Yeah, kick out the jam. Yeah, kick it out.
Nice. By the way, add Dave Grohl to any situation and it gets better.
That is considerably true.
Is there a reason he was up in Toronto?
I don't know, Shebeen. I don't know why he was there. Maybe
like L.A., I could see it just happening.
Maybe
but
there
Toronto
for Maple Leafs training camp. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh,
Allie needs more information,
Oh,
Ralph.
My Lord in heaven.
That feeling. That's so annoying when somebody does that. When you're in here just doing the best you can, just giving out what you know, and then somebody just harps on you for more and more. Like, it's never enough.
At least it's a point that has nothing to do with the story. At least why Dave Grohl was in Toronto really has no bearing on
it's pretty irrelevant.
Him why playing with that band that? At all. Why? Who cares why he was there? What does it matter why he was there?
Like, was he just...
No one knows. Maybe he had a hankering for some Tim Hortons donuts.
Understandable.
But I'm telling you facetiously that it does not matter why he was in Toronto.
But don't you want to know a little bit?
I don't care because it doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
Oh, Kevin, shut up.
Allie, what answer could Ralph have come back with that would have satisfied you? Like, what did you want him to say?
What were you looking for? That's a good point. What were you searching for?
What if he was up there learning the trade of maple syrup and he was going to open a company down here in Los Angeles? I would be interested.
Okay, then that would be the story. Is it Dave Grohl is going to make syrup?
If I come to you and say, well, Dave Grohl's got a new business, he's not just a musician anymore, then maybe we're launching into the bottling maple syrup story.
Okay.
He's just doing what he does, which is sing and play guitar.
Oh, Bean, you.
When Bean turns on you when you ask an inane question, you know you've stepped over a line. Hey, you guys ready for the Gay Bachelor?
I think most of them have been, no?
No, it's a TV show.
Oh.
Folks have been asking for some time. Sure, you know, there's plenty of spit-swapping going on in Paradise and with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. What about for the fellas who like fellas? When's that going to come around?
Yeah.
And the girls who like girls, by the way.
Well, in this particular story, it's the fellas who like fellas. Folks at the Logo Network are launching a new dating show that is basically the Gay Bachelor. It's called Finding Prince Charming.
Hmm.
It will premiere in the fall, and it'll be hosted by NSYNC's Lance Bass. There'll be 13 guys competing for the heart of a 33-year-old gentleman named Robert Sepulveda Jr., who works as an interior designer in Atlanta, Georgia. Robert says he's looking for someone who's sincere, honest, humble, and loyal. And then adds, good looking is always great, isn't it? Right?
Look, there's no reason why that show wouldn't succeed.
I can't believe it's taken this long.
Yeah, I can't either.
It's about time that the fellas started getting some
Bachelor
love.
And I'm surprised there's no BET version, too, for African-Americans.
The Blackchiller?
Since they are so underrepresented on the real Bachelor.
They're always on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
They don't get deep
into
the game, usually, but they're always there.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Thanks, Allie. Allie added, why was Dave Grohl in Toronto? And to this report.
She is bringing it.
Invaluable.
Really bringing it.
You're a miracle. Tomorrow night, Kevin Smith and I will take the stage because I really need to wash this week right out of my brain with some alcohol. And Kevin's going to get baked, and we're going to do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv Melrose. We'd love you to come join us. Go to Improv and click on Irvine. And come on down and see us at the Irvine.
Sit down.
In Orange County. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sean Connery, 68 years old today. Regis Philbin's 80. I'm sorry, I did it again. Sean Connery's 86 today. Regis Philbin is 85. Gene Simmons is 67 years old. Rob Halford of Judas Priest turned 65. Elvis Costello is 62. That's hard to believe. Tim Burton's 58. Billy Ray Cyrus is 55. Rachel Ray turns 48 years old. Alexander Skarsgård is 40. He's dreamy. Speaking about Gay Bachelor, right? I could be swinging on his vine.
I've heard it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Rachel Bilson's 35 and Blake Lively is 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ho, ho, ho. It's Rodney on the Rock here. I'd like to wish world peace and lower taxes. Hey, I just got my new cable bill. They raised the price. I'd like to do a commercial for pistachios. I'd like to get a radio for my car so I could listen to K-Rock.
Well, good luck with that, Rodney. Whoa. I hope that all works out for you. That's as animated as I have heard Rodney in a long time.
It's all the blow.
He's fired. Right. I don't think that's accurate
that's
at
all. That's right. It's all the blow,
that's
right?
That's it at all. No. Right? Rodney seems completely drug-free to me.
I don't think so,
Ralph.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Muffins code.
Oh, muffins.
Yeah.
To me, Rodney seems high on rock and roll, man. That's all he needs.
Yeah.
Rock and roll and Cantors. That's all that fuels Rodney. He doesn't need anything else.
No cocaine.
No cocaine.
Just some cocaine. A little bit.
Hey, it's a quarter to ten. Rob is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning.
Oh.
What's
going
on? Oh, no. Muffins. Rodney, what are you doing here?
Let's talk about muffins.
Let's go Cantors. Get a muffin.
You do love those muffins.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Do muffins mean muffins?
Yeah.
Just well,
because the Dr. Oz says I can eat blueberries now. So I got blueberry muffins.
Okay. So that's
Cantors.
All it is. It's just muffins. It's not. There's no drugs involved.
No drugs. I'm. Just say nope to dope and ugh to drugs.
That was a big 80s thing.
All right.
Because we had a bad man in here suggesting that you were under the influence.
No
and we told
way.
Him no. Okay.
I never touched that crazy stuff.
Okay. Well, you look great, Rodney.
Thank you.
Very well preserved.
Good to see you.
I'm going to do the 22 push-up challenge.
No, I don't think you are.
I would give you $1,000 to do 22 push-ups, Rodney.
I can do it.
Please do.
I'm going to do the challenge.
Okay,
how long will
good.
It take, you think?
22 push-ups.
Yeah, you got to do that. How long do you think it'll take?
Well, the first 10 will be easy.
Right?
Uh-huh. Does get more difficult after that, sure.
Then, after my arms heal from being broken, when they get out of the casts, I'll do the other 12.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to space them out.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
doctors
please.
Say it takes about 4 to 6 weeks for the bones to heal.
All right. Well, please do that video and then put it
all
up.
All right.
We'd love to see it.
Don't right. commit suicide.
Okay, good advice. Thank you, Rodney. Thanks for coming in.
All right, bye.
Okay,
bye.
See you later. Bye-bye. Aww. That was nice of him to stop
I want,
by.
I want Rodney in the morning, that AM show he's been trying to push.
Muffins.
I do, too.
Get a gig on that show.
I like it.
Hey, where do you want your ashes to go? Anyone? Anyone? Ashes? Ashes?
Probably a lake in Maine.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to be have them be put up on the auction block?
Probably not.
No?
No.
I thought this was a weird story. Only Bean could appreciate this.
Oh, don't think I'm not bidding.
Bean, of course, already knows what I'm talking about. Are you familiar with the famous author and raconteur, Truman Capote?
Sure.
Truman Capote?
Yeah.
Wrote In Cold Blood, of course. It was probably his big, his breakthrough smash hit.
I think he also wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's, if I remember correctly.
I'm going to get to that next.
Sorry.
Right, he's right here on the list of things
sorry,
I was going to talk about. But go ahead. What else you got? Want to know why he was in Toronto?
He was a very famous American author.
Yes, he was. And he had a very close friend by the name of Joanne Carson. Johnny Carson's ex-wife.
Yeah.
They were very close friends. And when Truman passed away, she got his ashes. And so now she's going to auction them off.
I don't...
Well, she isn't. She passed away at 83 last year. But as part of her estate, they're going to auction off Truman Capote's ashes. Julian's Auctions will be doing the honors, and they'll go up on the auction block. And you can start bidding, and you can take home some Dusty Truman.
I feel like he wouldn't
that's
want
that. That's my radio
that.
Name back
Dusty
in the day, by the way.
That's real good.
Dusty Truman.
That's kind of gross.
Right? Why do you want to buy someone's ashes?
And isn't it disrespectful to him that like some guy named Joe in Pacoima now has them on a shelf?
Right.
Or Bean in Seattle?
Or Bean in New Orleans or wherever Bean may be hiding out from the law these days.
I don't like it.
Are you really going to bid, Bean?
I mean, I'm interested to hear how much they go for. Look, I'm fascinated with that In Cold Blood case. I mean, I've been to the house in Holcomb, Kansas, where it happened. I've been to the house. All right,
I'm going to explode. I'm literally going to explode.
But
why would you go to the site of a famous murder? First of all,
you know, there's something that just attracts you to places like that. I mean, if you're
murder, sometimes murder attracts you.
Right. No, but I'm saying, look, why do tourists from all over the world go to 30 Rockingham? Because a thing happened there that they heard about, that they're fascinated with, that they spend a lot of time with, and they want to see the place in person.
Those people are awful.
Well, maybe they are, but I've been to the Holcomb, Kansas house. So I don't know. I'd be curious to see how much this is going to go for.
How many times have you been to the Holcomb, Kansas?
Just one time.
Just the
only
one time?
One time.
Huh. Yeah. Seven That's times weird. To Graceland, just one time to Deathland.
Well, no, I didn't go to Kansas just to go there. I was on vacation in Kansas anyway, so I went to the Wizard of Oz Museum. I did all sorts of stuff.
Oh, boy, you really hit all the sights. You hit all the highlights.
The Wizard of Oz Museum.
Of Kansas, vacation capital of the United States.
Why wouldn't I go?
Spend some hilarious fun times in Kansas.
Why wouldn't I go to that?
I just think you're terrific.
Anyway, they're selling his ashes. They're valued at up to $6,000, although no one knows what the bidding will bring, especially once Bean gets into the mix.
$6,000 seems like a pretty good deal. I went to the world's largest easel there, too.
My God.
The world's largest easel is there.
No.
Kevin,
no.
If you're within the sound of my voice, please come back. Cancel the remainder of your vacation. Just please run. Hurry back.
The world's largest ball of twine, if I remember correctly, is in Kansas as well. I saw that. A lot of hot spots.
twerk so. If you're a Star Trek fan, this is good news. The original series is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And starting on September 8th, which is a Thursday, exactly 50 years from Star Trek's original premiere on NBC, BBC America will be presenting a marathon of all Season 1 and Season 2 episodes, winding up on Sunday, September 11th. And these are the digitally remastered HD uncut episodes from the original series, so if you're a fan, you can check that out.
Why aren't they doing all three seasons?
Because the third season kind of sucked. Ooh. No, I think it's just a time constraint thing. They're just going to run it for the weekend.
All right.
And speaking of which, we had Adam Nimoy on the show not too long ago. Son of Leonard Nimoy, of course, played famously Mr. Spock on that show. And he was doing Kickstarter at the time to raise money to do a documentary about his father's life called For the Love of Spock. It is finished, and it will be out the beginning of next month. September 9th, I believe, is what's in selected theaters and available video on demand and streaming someplace. But I got a chance to see it this week.
And?
Oh, it's so good.
Phenomenal.
It's really, they did a great job with it. So, For the Love of Spock is the name of the documentary. If you're a Star Trek fan, I will tell you more about it when it comes out in the beginning of September. But great, great film. I
think you learn stuff about Leonard Nimoy you didn't know?
Absolutely. It's a great film because it's not just about Star Trek. Even if you're not a Star Trek fan, it covers his life just as an actor and his other interests of photography and directing, and also a lot about his relationship with his son, which was very strained and difficult at times, just being the son of somebody famous and being a working actor, a famous pop icon like Spock was, and keeping your family life together. And he had dealt with drinking problem issues. And it's a fascinating life, and it's a real love letter to Leonard Nimoy, so I really enjoyed watching it.
Did this moment where Kevin attacked his choice of items to photograph make the documentary?
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
Nothing, sorry.
Is that in the documentary? That make it?
That did not make the cut. Although they do have some of his photographs of large women that he liked to shoot. He liked their shape and how they looked on film, so he did do a whole book of nudes of oversized women, and I couldn't help but think of Kevin when I saw that moment in the movie.
He wasn't was furious over that, wasn't he?
Yeah, and rightly so. He was beyond insensitive. I'm out of time, so I'm just going to say, if you're looking for somebody's birthday, find it online. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Bisbee.
Thank you so much, Ralph. And hey, on your drive home today, why not enjoy a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here at K-Rock? It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. The Go Topless Day celebration is upon us again. It is this weekend, I want to say Sunday maybe, in Venice. We'll have on a spokesperson from that. We're all pro Go Topless, right?
Yes.
I think we're down for that.
Let's all be free. Put them on the glass. Let's
free the nipple. Come on. So we'll find out what we can do to help. Also, Friday means it's the movie beat. And more tickets for our breakfast with Sting. I feel like there's something else. Am I missing something?
Well, you are selling it regardless.
You're bringing it to life.
Yep. I feel like there was something good.
Just say goodbye, Bean.
Okay, goodbye, Bean.